When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, everybody. My friends, the best show is now underway. You know me, your old friend Tom. He's back for another Tuesday night filled with laughter and fun and all the things you've come to expect from an episode of the best show. We had a little technical difficulty. Dudio went, you should have seen him. What's that movie? Minority Report. The way he just scrambles and weaves and paints. He paints pictures with zeros and ones. It's something else to see. What? And I got Mike. I gotta tell you. This Mike. No, I know. This guy. I know. This guy. The signals. I thought it was looking for a church key. The signals. But the technical stuff is sorted out. The best show is back. Thank you, Dudio. Thank you, Mike. Can you hear it, Mike?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, good. Oh, thank goodness. What we're going to do is going to accelerate some stuff tonight. I'm not going to do the music. I'm just going to play the theme, and then we'll just get right into the show. We'll make up lost ground. How about that? Sorry, music fans. You'll have to listen to music on your own time, because the only music we're going to hear tonight is the best show theme, because the old clock on the wall tells me it's time for the best show to start in 5, 4. I don't got time. I've got to start it. No. The best show is back for another Tuesday night installment. I'm the host of tonight's episode. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'll be with you all night long. The phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the hotline if you want to get in on the action. We have an exciting show for you tonight. Jam-packed. You thought you the red carpet on the Emmys the other night was something? Well, wait till you see this extravaganza. From the Keith and the Girl pod. It's not a podcast, it's a live show. It's a podcast. These podcasters force everybody into this podcast bubble ghetto. Stop it. Hey, these are, this is the radio that just happens to not be on the radio. They're going to be here. They're live in the studio. Later in the show, we're going to have Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall. And all sorts of stuff. But there's no music to back announce because they didn't play none tonight. Because we're jumping right into it. We had a technical blip there. My favorite thing is when there's a technical difficulty hearing Mike say to the callers, "We're having technical difficulties. We're sorting it through. If you could just hang in there, it'll be back up in a matter of moments." But that's all it's got to be, though. But it's still just like Mike hearing the people calling in that can hear it now. Oh, Mike. It's the bedrock. What would we do without him? Other than the show. Quick message. To the guy who wrote, I got an email today from some dude who wrote, "Hey." And it was not addressed to me. It was addressed to a woman. And it said to her, "Would you like to appear on my comedy show?" And then I was like, well, why is he addressing me with a woman's name? And then I looked and I thought about it for a second. And then in a minute later, and I don't even know this person. And then the person wrote back to like, "Whoops, I meant to write Tom." And then I thought about it. I'm like, no, you didn't. You got auto-corrected. You get your thing auto-corrected, and you sent it to me by accident. So I wrote back, like, look, you can admit. I think I figured out who the autocorrect was meant for. And that's fine. Just admit it. I've been burned by autocorrect. Guy was like, no. I want you on the show. I live in Los Angeles, first of all. You wrote to somebody in Los Angeles. You're asking as if I'm going to go up and do... I don't do stand-up. Just own it. Just own the mistake. You wouldn't own it. You rat. You're going to have to deal with that. I gave you a way out to just own the mistake. You took the rat's path out. Just like Pete... This, and I got Dudio telling me. He's like, "You got to have my friend Pizza Rat on." And I'm like, "Pizza Rat?" And he's like, and I'm like, "Wait, you're friends with Pizza Rat?" He's like, and he was like, yeah, Pizza. And then eventually he's like, "Well, no, the guy who filmed Pizza Rat." I'm like, "Yeah, you're not, Pizza Rat is a rat." And I saw exactly 1/2 second of Pizza Rat, then looked away because I didn't need to see more. How is that a thing? It's a rat eating food on the street? Is that unnatural? No, that's how it goes. Just because it's not just pizza crust. It's a big deal. Rats eating a slice of pizza. It's like the opening credits of Louie, except with a rat. Instead, that's all it is. No different. Watching him. And that's the only thing I'll say about that show. I like that show, and I think he's super funny. But there's no way he ever threw away half a slice of pizza after outside of a pizzeria. He's never been like, "That was enough of that slice. I'll throw the other half away." It's never, ever happened in his life. He has finished every slice he's started. And again, that is not meant as any sort of slam on one of the super powerful people in comedy. I'm not sure why I'm reading what Mike wrote here for me. Mike, I don't agree with this Louis C.K. thing you told me to read. Please. Don't put things like this in front of me, Mike. I need to see them before the show and make sure they're suitable for broadcast. Oh, we're having fun, right? Aren't we having fun already? Can you believe it? The phone number is 201-332-3484. Let me take a call. Then we'll bring in my special guests. We have Keith and Hemda, and it's Hemda and Danny. Even he came. Who's good here, Mike?
One.
Fast call.
Yeah.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom Sharpling.
Yeah? Who's
hey,
this?
Hey, this is Michael K. from Pittsburgh.
Oh, Michael K. from the rock band The Cynics.
Yeah, the rock band. Hey, you know what? I had, I'm going to try to be brief. I know you say I'm a blabbermouth and go on too long. But I'm going to try to be brief with, this sort of a conundrum. Is that the word? I don't know if it's a conundrum. But the question is sit-down shows versus stand-up shows. And here's the deal. I got tickets to see Tom Verlaine and that rock band Television, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a reunion tour without Richard Lloyd, though. But they're playing a show in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Music Hall. Or I don't know what you call it in New York. The Carnegie, or is it the Carnegie?
People say Carnegie.
In Pittsburgh, we just call it the Carnegie Music Hall.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of them.
And what are the name of those sandwiches again you guys
and
eat there?
Tom Verlaine and Television are playing there on Friday, right?
Oof.
So I got these tickets in the second row. It's right in the second row.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's one of those sit-down shows.
Okay, yeah.
And so I'm not really, I mean, I can't even imagine watching television and just sitting down there and I would probably fall asleep.
Wait, you can't imagine sitting down. Wait, you,
I mean,
did you stand when you watch television?
Have to stand up and watch television?
No, I don't, and neither does anyone else.
Well,
would you stand? Were you cheering?
Well, okay, look, I've been in this situation before because I've seen Patti Smith play at a different Carnegie Music Hall, and I had to trade my seats with someone else because I had to go to the very back of the hall so I could stand up and dance and watch her sing and play
because people wanted
to sit down. I also had another experience in a Pittsburgh place where Todd Rundgren played, and he was doing just one victory, you know, one of the greatest songs ever. As his encore, he's doing just one victory. So I started standing up, and I'm dancing. I'm like, just one victory. People started throwing popcorn at my head and, like, things in my head. They're like, sit down. We want to sit down and watch Todd Rundgren do just one victory. Meanwhile, I'm hanging out with Todd Rundgren after the show. He's like, dude, thanks so much for standing up and dancing during that song. He couldn't understand why people were even sitting down during it.
Okay. I would say with this, you might be on the losing side of this one.
Really?
I don't think. Well, what are you going to get? Eventually get everybody up on their feet?
The Worcester shows.
What do you think you're going to get?
Sharpling shows?
You think you're going to get everybody up on their feet? What do you think you're going to get everybody seeing television to get up and start jumping around? It's not going to happen.
What, do you think they're too old to? Wait. When Television were actually playing, were people like sitting down?
47 years ago. Okay. That was 47 years ago that Television did their thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know what? The last time I saw Tom Verlaine was he played at the Pittsburgh Arts Festival, and I was tripping balls. And he was standing up. I was standing up. I don't know how many people were there, but it was in the middle of the summer, and there were all these bugs flying around. And it was just, well, it was just like a magical, crazy trip. Mm-hmm. And all these bugs that were flying around him looked like trailers, and he was totally into it. It was a Tom Verlaine band. And so, and he was standing up. There were no seats. We were just standing there by the river under the Three Rivers Arts Festival, and he was standing up. I was standing up. There were no seats. You could lay down in the grass, I guess, if you wanted to.
Look, I get your thing, and I side with you on this. I understand what it's like. You want people to be engaged with the music.
Yeah.
Like people go see the Cynics. You like the fact that they're up on their feet and you can see them.
Are you kidding me? If someone came to see our band and they were sitting down in chairs, I would be like, here, give me the gun, give me a bullet to my head. Why would you sit down and see a band? I mean, maybe King Crimson.
Yeah, no, King Crimson. What, are you going to stand? You're going to stand up and dance for that?
Not even that. No, actually, everybody was up for that. I would never even sit down to see King Crimson.
Everybody was on their feet for that. Oh, everybody was on their feet.
I saw Robert Fripp play at bars in. I saw Robert Fripp play at bars in Pittsburgh, and he didn't sit down. He was like dancing around with his hands in his pocket to the opening bands.
Okay, but then when he went on stage, he sat down.
Well. Yeah.
Because that's all he's been sitting down since 1971.
That's a shtick.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody's shtick is to sit in the seat that they were given as an audience member. Look, you're not going to win that fight. That ship has sailed, buddy. You got to start seeing different bands if you're all twisted about that. You're going to see television, and you're going to see Todd Rundgren. I don't like how you're saying, that's really troubling me, but you got to go see other bands then if you don't want people sitting.
Yeah,
but what are you going to do?
No, the but thing is that I should just give those tickets to somebody else and trade them so I can stand in the back of the room and dance then.
Sure, if that's
I'm
what
like,
you want to do.
Kid, you want to sit up front? You want to sit there and watch this thing? Here's my ticket, and I'm going to stand in the back of the room so I can like move my hips and have fun.
That sounds like what you should do then.
I think that's what I'm going to do for the television show.
Look,
second row seats for television in Pittsburgh.
Well, when I saw the Cynics, hey, let me talk. Why do you have to? You got to listen sometimes too, Michael.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
You got to share the thing. Share the thing. This isn't the Cynics where you're the only one with a microphone on stage. It's two microphones now. I'm the lead singer of this show. You're the backup singer.
I know. I'm not even the backup singer. I'm just a...
So, when I saw you guys, though, you certainly had no problem laying down when I saw you. You were laying down on your face when I saw you a few months ago.
Yeah, I was not the alpha dog. I was the dog that was just laying down on the floor bleeding, but that's not...
You had no problem. Looked like you were pretty relaxed. You were asleep when I saw you guys. You were so relaxed because you fell off the stage.
I don't know if asleep and unconscious is the same thing, but...
Well...
I was not asleep, but I might have been temporarily unconscious.
Yeah. Well, look, trade tickets with somebody. Let some kid get way up front and see television... if they're going to sit there and not dance around, you go sit in the back of the room and you don't, and then get up out of your chair and dance.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to give the ticket to some kid.
Yeah, and we said it 80 times. That's what you're going to. Goodbye. All right. Let's bring my guests in, please. Mike, can you show my guests to the studio? Please. Can you guide them here? I'm going to take a call in the interim. Best Show, you're on the air. Mike, what did you do?
This is Mike in Portland.
It's Mike in Portland.
Boom. How are you doing?
I'm all right. What's up with you, Mike?
Well, Tom, last week you told me to go to the Mac McCann Mike Curl show.
I did, yes. I told you because you were like, I'm not going to the thing. And then I was like, go to the thing.
I wanted to mention that...
Then you went.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Mike Curl was... If he's still touring, if anyone can see him, I encourage them to go and check Mike Curl out. Mac McCann has a big following already, so I don't think that'll be a problem to get people out to see him. But they were just amazing.
Yeah.
And I also met your, I think he's your associate producer, Pat.
Pat is touring with Mike Curl, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Pat was incredibly gracious and such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated meeting him. I mean, it was just a great
good. And you would have sat home if I didn't tell you to go out, right?
Absolutely.
You just sat there on your couch, not doing nothing. But you went out, you saw these bands coming through your city, and you had a good time. And everybody was, you were happier for it, weren't you?
I owe you, Tom, but one thing did happen where I kind of made a fool of myself in front of Mac McCon when he was at the merch table.
Uh-huh, what did you do?
Well, I didn't know who he was, because usually I would, like, you know, do research, but I didn't have time, I had to leave. So I was actually looking for Pat, and I went up to Mac, and people were, like, having pictures taken with him, and they loved him, and I just talked to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, Mike Kroll has a record on Merge, or a new record on Merge.
Yes.
And I said, I've heard of Merge.
Yeah.
And then just was kind of dismissive, like, I kind of want to just get to Pat Byrne. Then I looked it up, and I realized that he's a founding member of Merge, and he's also in Superchunk, and also...
Pretty
he's
much
responsible for some of my favorite records ever.
Yeah, but you didn't know. That's all right. That's okay.
Had no idea.
You didn't know what he looked like, so now you do. And he would be
now
fine with that. He would think that was nice, that you cared enough.
Gracious. Mac was gracious.
Yeah.
Didn't meet Mike, but Pat was gracious. Great show.
Good.
Great night.
I'm glad.
Everyone else, if they're coming to town, see them.
Go see it.
Please.
I agree. Yeah. All right. I'm glad you said that. You have a great night, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We hang up on people. To the final syllable, we just cut them off. Let me tell you about some friends of mine over at internet.bs. What is internet.bs? Well, it's a place you go if you're looking to get some, they are registrars is what they are. Domain registrars. And they heard that the best show, they're fans of the best show. They heard that we were reaching out looking for local businesses. And what did they do? Well, they stepped up. They rang the bell. The fine folks over at internet.bs. They are a lean and mean organization. They don't spend their money on fancy videos or pictures of people in suits posing like they're in an underwear catalog. No. They save on that money so they can pass the savings to you when it comes time to buy a domain name. Internet.bs. I'm going to go there right now and look at it. Internet.bs. And look at this. Lean and mean, man. Get all those different dot tabs there. They got them all. And they run deals. They got deals. They ain't a multinational corporation. They run a tight ship. They support the best show. They don't make you click through a bunch of products you don't want just to get the domain name. They are consistently the best-priced registrar in the market, and they offer a large range of domain name choices. Internet.bs also gives customers free private whois, free web forwarding, free email forwarding, and free DNS management. It's a lot of free stuff. They are the domain registrar of choice for subject matter experts all over the world. That's web designers, developers, SEO gurus, among others. All the internet boffins, and I'm talking about all the internet boffins, use internet.bs because it's the lowest cost and easiest registrar universe. Their easy-to-use customer portal gives complete control over the management of your domain names. If you want to buy a domain name, you go there and you buy it. It's that simple, internet.bs. And they're running a promotion right now. Did you know that internet, .us is the domain name for the United States of America? And it's the online destination for everyone with a dream, an idea, or a business made for the United States of America. And I like America. I know that flies in the face of the AP mics of the world. But I'm not afraid to say it out loud. I like America. So what you do, my friends, you go to internet.bs/Mike. Well, this promo code, internet.bs/Mike Rules Tom. That's so I guess I just got served, as they say. These dudes over at internet.bs, they like Mike a lot. And they said, I have to say this. If you go to internet.bs/Mike Rules Tom right now, you can celebrate American ingenuity with a .us domain name for just $5. internet.bs/Mike Rules Tom. Throw some internet support their way. And DraftKings.com, my friends, you all know that football season's going strong. We are 2 weeks in right now. Your fantasy football team might be blowing up the spot. But you don't have to wait till week 16 to get paid over at DraftKings.com. You put your fantasy skills to the test every week over at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. There are no season-long commitments with one-week fantasy. You've got an injured player, no problem, because it's like a new season every week, so you're not stuck with the same guys. You're not stuck with Tony Romo and his broken arm or whatever he's got. What's that? Clavicle. A broken clavicle. And get this. DraftKings.com is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. You could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. You just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up the cash. That's it. Believe me, you have never, ever, ever experienced football like this. This is not fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. And I know you guys listening, I love my fantasy basketball. You love your fantasy football. You want to play it, you play it over at DraftKings.com. What you do is you hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use promo code BEST to play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter BEST for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. I have in the studio the architect of Keith and the Girl, the internet radio show. Is that what we can call it?
We call it a podcast.
Hold on. I got to turn these up if you're going to say anything. That helps.
I think we can call it a podcast.
Sure, but don't you feel boxy? It's like you went so far out of your way to try to create something that happens in a different environment than just a thing with a laptop and two microphones sticking out of it.
You're right. I should be more pissed off more often.
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly. Celebrate that you have something bigger. It is available as a podcast, right? It is available as a podcast, but it's not merely a podcast.
It's a super podcast.
It's a super cast.
Yes.
I like that.
Super duper.
So we have here Keith from Keith and the Girl.
Hi, nice to see you.
Oh, okay. I don't think that was Keith.
First of all, it's
Keith.
This is Keith.
Oh, scared me.
It's
there
great
he is.
To be here. Congrats on everything. And obviously, you're beloved, and this is an honor.
Oh, thank you.
And this isn't a mere podcast either.
I didn't say it was. I was not boxing myself in like that. And we have Chemda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Well,
and then
I'm pissed off now, but that's like great.
Good. But you get past it.
Yeah.
And then we've got Danny, right?
Hi, yes.
Does that third mic not work, the handheld mic? Do we not have that?
Is there
one rolling
there's
around
this trophy
here
somewhere?
There's not that. That's ceremonial.
Oh.
How
test
about that?
One, two.
There it is. So you can do that. How about that?
Hey, thanks for having me. This is an honor.
It's exciting to see you.
Hey, yeah, you as well.
Danny's shy about it. But Danny loved. Where were you when you heard Tom?
Oklahoma
City?
Oklahoma, yeah.
Loves you. He is in love with you.
Literally.
Not just he loves you. He is in love.
So, okay.
Thank you for the invite.
We brought a gift, if now is an okay time.
Sure.
We did.
The last time we saw you, you did our show and then did Danny's show in the same studio, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned that there's no variety pack for Oreo cookies.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we made you a variety
you
pack.
You made me a variety pack.
Yes, including two different kinds of birthday cake Oreo cookies. One vanilla.
I can smell it already coming out of the bag.
Smell
the chemicals. I got hit by the wave of artificiality. Okay.
But it's real. It's so real. Yeah, oh there's goodness. Like pumpkin. What
there's,
else?
I can see there's classic.
There's toothpaste Oreos in there.
So you went.
You made some. You licked off the.
Yeah.
One of them has marijuana in it, but we don't want to tell you which.
It's the toothpaste one.
So one of them, so it's toothpaste and marijuana. So it's basically edibles you're making here. This is fantastic. Hey, Mike, you like Oreos, right? You got to see this. Can you come in here for a second?
It's never been done before.
This is like...
Your podcast and Oreo pioneers.
This is like your, what do they call that, sweeting?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Right? When you like,
oh, wow, yeah, nobody's
right. Yeah. Look at that. You want one?
Well, this is the problem. You can't choose when it's a variety pack, so it makes it worse.
They're all but drooling over it. No, I don't want one.
Chipotle.
That's
a Chipotle.
I'm a little
Oreo.
Worried about the one that, I'm worried about the one that did not seem assembled. Like that Oreo. Mike took one out, and the cookies clearly fell away from the filling, which I've never seen happen with an Oreo. It seemed clearly like there was nothing adhesive about the filling in that Oreo. It was like just a sandwich where like the bread just fell away. Now, Keith and the girl,
yes.
You've been doing this show for how long now?
Great question. Thank you. 10 years.
10 years.
March of 2005 we started.
And unlike pretty much every other show that people call podcasts or anything, you guys are doing, this is like five?
We do it 5 days a week.
A week.
Yep.
That's insane.
It's our job, though, with that said. Usually, you know, it's not the comedian's job. These podcasts.
Yes, it did not start out as something that where you can just be like, we declare this our job.
No.
And then suddenly enough money comes back in. It's just like,
can you do that?
It's positive thinking.
Yeah, we're just like, we said it's our job and now, oh, here's our first paycheck. Just showed up. It's like, no, you have to eat it for a while.
We were party clowns in the beginning of our podcasting. Could we call it careers?
Correct.
Yeah. So we were in clown outfits. I was Pocahontas sometimes, Power Rangers. We did kitty magic.
I was Spider-Man, but I'm 6'2", so you can see everything Spider-Man had.
Sure. Yeah. So tight.
We got an extra tip that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that for some parties, that would be not wanted. For others, right. It would be like, can we get that Spider-Man again? Can you bring that Spider-Man back?
Again, it was kid party, so yes, it was the first one.
Generally, it was like, yeah, that guy can't be Spider-Man anymore.
I do remember going into a party once and saying, okay, you know, I'm your Spider-Man. Where should I change? And the mom says, where should Spider-Man change in front of all the kids? And I'm like, you got to try.
Yeah.
Let's pretend.
You paid enough.
Right.
You gotta create the illusion that Spider-Man showing up, not... Because then it's also like, well, that's clearly not Peter Parker. So that we know that that's not Spider-Man in there either.
I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom now and change. Science, science, science.
Photography also.
Oh, is that what he does, photography?
Both. He's a nerd.
He likes science and photography. Well, photography for him was his podcast that paid the bills. He was...
Well, science is the thing that got him in trouble, right?
Photography was, right? Wasn't he taking pictures in the spider zoo? Was
no,
that where he was?
He was on a field trip.
Exactly.
Hello.
He's on a field trip.
Was he not taking pictures there, though?
He was curious.
I've never lived a life, so I don't know what people do on things.
A spider fell down and bit him from the thing.
Oh, that's how!
It just, like a radio, like, you know, when you go to the museum or the tour of science lab and then...
The animals bite you?
Yeah, and things just come right on top of you like that. Yeah.
What if Pizza Rat bit him?
Then he would be...
It'd be an uglier movie.
Rat Man. He'd be Rat Man and he'd...
I'm here to save you.
go from pizzeria to pizzeria. He'd shoot pizza out of his...
No, he'd be a Ninja Turtle. Does anyone pay attention?
That's exactly what he would... He would actually be... Well, then... But they were not human, the Ninja Turtles. They were not... Like, they were not transformed. They got... What was that? Like some kind of...
Ooze.
Ooze. The ooze turned them into...
Turtles?
Talking turtles. They were normal turtles.
Oh, they weren't boy. They weren't human boys. They got turned into turtles.
Well, that would be like the saddest thing that ever happened.
Yeah, it's a tragedy.
That'd be like the idea, like these four boys were playing, and then the ooze got all over them, and they turned into turtles.
It aged them up from 11 to 15
yeah.
and turned them into turtles.
That would be... That would be a straight-up tragedy. It's a triumph that these normal turtles were turned into like little... Teens, party teens, right? That's something to sell it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Was it Cowabunga Dude? That's Bart Simpson, I think, right?
Somebody must have bit off of somebody.
I remember when that... I'm too old for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Don't say that.
But grow up?
I never got... I was too young for them.
You were too young for it.
Yeah. Get out.
All right,
leave.
Goodbye.
So what was your thing then when you were a young boy?
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot.
Oh, the reboot. Okay, so like the Michael Bay.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, I loved it. It's my Bible.
What this is missing is...
Not enough violence and boobs.
Yeah, the deft touch of Michael Bay is missing from this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot. From normal one. Thank goodness he got involved in the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys started your party clowns. You're like, what were your influences to where you're like, we want to be talking into microphones and do it on a, were you more influenced by radio at that point? 2005.
I think, Keith was influenced by oversharing. Like he's just generally like an oversharing sort of person. He had an unofficial blog where he blabbed about every date he had, like every feeling he had about girlfriends, things like that. Mm-hmm. I did not want to do it at all because he talked about every date he had, every boob he saw. And he was looking at my boobs at the time. And I was like, I don't think that I want to be a part of it. But
I thought she was the funniest person I knew, the easiest to talk. We dated, so I thought she was the easiest to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some of the early podcasts at the time, and I really thought they were god awful. And I knew that we could do this, and so I convinced her to do it. And it was her idea to call it The Girl, so that she could remain anonymous. Was a big deal. Never mind, her name was Kenda. Was a big deal also.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, nobody can pronounce my name, A, and B, I don't know if I want to necessarily put myself out there. We, of course, got over that and started doing the show. And I think within a month it was live. Within a month we went from half hour to an hour. We thought maybe it'd promote, maybe I'd get into stand-up, I'd promote that. She's an amazing singer, maybe we'd promote that, but it obviously became its own thing.
Sure, and then suddenly you decide what you have to major in and what is... What you're going, you know what I mean? Like, what's the complementary thing to the main thing?
Right. There was a time between where we had to start, and doing these clown parties was good money, you know, $100 an hour, a 4-hour minimum. But there's a time where we couldn't keep doing these parties and working on the money part of making the show. Mm-hmm. And yes, that interim was very scary.
Yes, because there's a point when you just have to be
focused
in on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're either in or you're out. And the clown parties went out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever miss it, though, once in a while? You're just
Kenda, honestly, she had more talent. She was better with kids. I was usually in those big head costumes, and people are just punching my privates. Because that's what you would do if you see SpongeBob. You'd punch him in the privates, you know.
Yeah.
Kenda would finish. We'd finish a clown party, and then, you know, we'd have our balloons to make balloon animals, and Kenda would stop by kids, not at the party, at wherever we went to get food, and would start doing a show for them.
I couldn't, if I had something for kids in my backpack, I couldn't just let it pass.
Uh-huh.
So if I was taking the train back from a gig, and I saw kids on the train, every kid would walk out with a balloon in their hand.
Wow.
I really love kids.
Well, that's a nice person is what you are.
That's the thing. Keith and the Girl taught me not to be a nice person.
Okay, so you're getting it beaten out of you little bit.
But it's not that I didn't do the things. She offered the things. Me, if I'd finish a party And then, you know, let's say it's in Long Island. I'm waiting for the train, so I stop in at a bar, but I still have my face painting kit. I have to start painting faces. They make me. You can't say no. No, this isn't my job now. It's like, no, you'll paint all our faces.
Well, one time, me and a good friend of mine, we were doing clown parties, and we were in full clown, the entire white face clown makeup with all the colorful stuff. And we got hungry after our gig. We went into this wonderful, lovely restaurant with cloth napkins. We're both in like pigtails and braids and things. Right. We sat across from each other in a beautiful Long Island restaurant where people like legitimately got dressed up to go out to eat. And we're sitting across from each other like clowns, just like ordering food. And no one said anything because it still is New York and no one wants to talk to you.
But they're probably just also worried. Like a few, last year I was in a park in New Jersey and everybody walks around this lake and everybody, it's all families and stuff. And then one day there was a guy walking around the lake dressed as Spider-Man.
Right.
And the instant thing I felt was, I'm worried this guy's going to start shooting everybody at the lake.
Sure, that's
like,
fair.
That was the first thought I had was, this guy's showing up dressed as Spider-Man walking around the lake. We're all going to die.
Well, I think we did put people on edge a little bit because I remember being in a restaurant and they'd say, you know, can I take your order? I'd say, rrr, rrr. I go, oh, 1 second. I pulled out a giant ribbon out of my mouth that never ends. And then I order. So I do put them on edge.
Yeah. So when they probably saw two people dressed as clowns in the restaurant, they're just like, let's serve them the food. They're ordering food like normal people. Let's wait for them to tell us that this is not normal. And then we will act. Then we will act accordingly. But let's just spot them the idea that maybe this will be normal. The first sign of anything weird, then, yeah, we're calling the cops on these two clowns in the restaurant.
They did say, oh, two more clowns. Totally normal.
I didn't even think of that. It's like worse than bringing a clock to school.
Right. If something bad happened, they can't go, we didn't see it coming.
Right.
We thought we were serving clowns.
Yeah. And what's that kid doing bringing a clock to school? Like, even if he brought like a, like any clock, it's like,
you should arrest him just right away.
But just like, what are you going to, hey, everybody, if that went well, that's still weird.
We'd be
just like, hey, here's my clock. Right. I made a clock.
Best case, he gets beat up.
Yeah. Right. Best case, the clock gets thrown into a, smashed into a toilet.
And he gets thrown into the locker.
Gets a swirly. He gets to look at his clock in a toilet.
Doesn't he like, know? Every classroom has a clock in it, A. Yeah, it's not so. We're acting like he's a great inventor that's going to the White House now. It's a clock. We have them.
They're like $4 at Target. Like a wall clock is like $4.
There's a clock in my pocket. He made a better clock than that? Get that out of town. It can talk to me. It can set other clocks.
So look. Yeah, look. Maybe he shouldn't have been arrested, but...
But what are you going to do?
I'm going to also say...
He should not have not been arrested.
He's bringing a clock to school. What are they going to show everybody the clock?
Oh, look,
hallway?
I made a t-shirt. Okay, we have t-shirts.
It was his time to shine, guys.
It was his time to shine. He had his clock that he made.
He did peak, though. That kid's peaked, right?
That clock totally.
The best thing that's going to happen to him, and he's 14.
Yeah, and that clock kind of did look like a bomb also.
It is. Now that you think about it, I've seen movies. It does look like a bomb. Also, it's odd that his clock only counted down.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Countdown clock?
It was a countdown clock. And the zeros were bomb symbols. The circle and the fire coming
out. This kid's got to just learn, don't bring anything to school. You're in high school. Keep your head down. Get through it. You get to be a normal person when you're finished with high school.
Oh, now he's better than a giant clock factory, this kid. Okay.
But also, I feel like if you want to kill kids in high school at this point, you just bring in peanut butter. It seems to be like the deadliest thing you could bring.
For like a nut allergy?
Yes.
Yeah. Allergies? Do you have any allergies in the room? Anybody?
I have a pretty bad cat allergy.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. And it's not – my girlfriend has a cat, so it's –
So how do you cope with that?
Well, don't tell her, but I killed the cat already. The cat's been dead for a few months. And
Well, you maybe shouldn't have said that into a microphone.
This is live?
This is live.
I thought this was a podcast.
Oh, you want me to edit this out later?
Please. This is
sorry, Danny.
If I was Obama, you would have edited it out.
I have allergies, but I don't know for what yet. But every once in a while, it knocks me out.
There's something going on where I think everybody's getting it, you know?
Yeah.
During the summer, I'll take one of those generic pills a day. And it's a tough thing to admit because when we were kids, it's the nerdiest thing to have allergies.
I will become my own bully. Like, no, I don't. I don't have allergies. Allergies is for nerds, and I'm a totally cool person. And then it knocks me out, and I lose 3 days.
I take a pill, and then I kick myself in the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they hate me.
Like an ibuprofen? What kind of generic pill?
Yeah.
That just a generic, you know.
Just a pill on the bottle?
Yeah, just you find a pill on the street, and you're like, I feel sneezy.
It just says allergy. And obviously that it comes in a pack of 6,000. Everybody has it, you know?
You're getting them at Costco?
Yeah, I am.
So you, Keith and the girl, true or false?
Oh, these are hard. Okay.
Have allergies.
You will not do live shows. That is not happening. You will never tour. That is not happening.
I got this one, guys. That is true. And we will take your next question.
Okay. We are doing a tour, as a matter of fact, 10 cities in 10 days, tour bus and everything.
Oh, my God.
On the West Coast, starting in Seattle and then scooping around, ending in Oklahoma City.
What are these tour dates? Can you name them in order? Do you know them? Did you book this tour?
Yes. So in order is a little tricky because you don't book in order. Sure. So let me try.
Okay.
Now, if I knew the map of the United States, I would do this much better. So somebody correct me. Ready? Okay. Start off in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, L.A., Vegas. Things start to get blurry. Phoenix. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix is around there.
Okay.
Denver.
Yep. Not Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, Denver. Never correct me again, Danny. You're fired.
Sorry, I love you.
Something else, and then Oklahoma City.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow, you're doing the left side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
10 shows in 10 days.
Never been done before by any band or person, and it all begins October 9th.
But no podcast has ever done that.
How could they? How physically could they? We've been practicing.
What is your show going to be? What is the live Keith and the Girl show?
We've done live shows before in other countries and some places in America. It's our show, but live.
I just burped.
That's what it is.
That's what Henda does.
Sorry. Henda,
sometimes she farts. Sometimes she burps. It's all different. You
might have a home on. I think Mike should be Mike.
Yours.
Mike left.
Hey, Tom.
No, that's
he's going to the West Coast to check the tour.
Hey, Tom.
Are you the Mike of
I'm the Mike of Mikes. Yeah. I am the associate producer. I am AP Danny.
And do they pick on
berate you? Berate me. Yeah, yes,
right.
Sure.
But it's like the thing now, right? You're just like, bring it on.
That's what the Zoloft tells me.
Does it drive you nuts if somebody who like isn't Keith or Hemda does this, like they think they can just act like either of them and just be like, and just like you're just supposed to take it like, I said what they do to you too. And you're just like, no, you can't do that. I outrank you.
Right, right. It's they see who they think is the intern and they're like, oh, phew, I'm not the newest guy in the room.
Yeah. But you get
if somebody
I murder them literally. No, don't tell Keith or Hemda.
Okay,
their guests have been missing for 4 weeks.
So we could overlay a map of bodies being found all over, and it would track exactly with the tour.
We're not still live now, are we?
We still are live.
You didn't hit like the 4 minutes away from me.
We did not pause
this
the
is
show.
So
now.
Tricky.
No, don't assume anything has stopped.
Okay,
the show is going.
Even the clock hit stuff when we were making fun of him. That was live.
Yes, that. This is all live.
Obama can hear this.
The clock kid. The thing about the. You liking the Teenage Ninja Turtle reboot.
Oh, it was a masterpiece. I didn't think PG-13 was hard enough. I think the Turtles deserve a hard R.
So you wanted like a full-on gritty...
Mm-hmm. Shellless, at least. I want one scene where they're without their shells.
You want the cowbunker?
18-year-old
You want
Ninja
like
Turtles.
Zack Snyder type. Yeah.
Who watches the Turtles?
He's so... That movie.
Great.
He's not great.
I saw that movie with my dad in theaters, and that was a pretty awkward viewing experience. Watchmen.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. During that big sex scene on the ship.
Sure.
That was...
Hallelujah.
Yeah, soundtrack to Leonard Cohen.
I don't think I've ever seen it. You couldn't. You'd have to pay me $300 to watch that movie again.
Oh man, right? I have $249.
What movies would it cost you to? Would you have to get paid to watch in your? If you think about it, but first of all, that movie that's coming out now, the one, the Green Inferno, the one that's like,
oh, sure,
it's like an Eli Roth movie about like kids being tortured by like natives or something.
I think it's a spinoff of the Bear Jew from Inglourious Bastards. I think it's his own adventures. Yeah, he faked his death.
I think you're making things up.
No, he faked his death in the theater.
Okay,
and he snuck out to Bolivia.
So it's these kids on tour, like on a.
It's like they're backpackers, right?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, and they're just getting tortured by people, and it just like, to me, you'd probably have to pay me like $500 to go to a theater and sit and watch that movie.
But popcorn or no popcorn?
No, with all that gets factored, I would have to be provided
snacks.
Of one beverage.
Is that part of the $500 or do I have to shell out extra?
In addition. This is a part, it's like $500 plus.
And actually like $200 probably.
The amenities of a movie going experience.
Like safe seats or you have to come early?
I'll take care of my seats. You don't need to reserve.
He's not a jerk.
This is not the ArcLight.
You're paying me $500 for God's sakes.
So you would not see this Green Inferno, fun escapist movie that would make you forget about your real troubles.
Yeah, it's fun escapist entertainment.
You can let go of life for a little while.
So is there a movie you would not see that you literally you see the thing for it? You're like, you'd actually have to hand me money to see that.
The Sex and the City movies.
The Sex and the City movies.
Yeah. I hate whores.
Okay. Are we still live?
I don't think so. No, I think Mike just... they're not whores.
No, they're liberated women.
Yes.
Meanwhile, across town... I was getting it up on my own.
Keith likes to pretend that women don't like sex. It's a thing. It's a bit.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit of life.
Well, you're a stand-up, Keith, now, because you said you started wanting to do stand-up back like 10 or so years ago. But now you have like 6 CDs and out, right?
11, but you know, 11? That's what it is. I do one live stand-up show a year on my birthday.
Okay.
And I record that.
Uh-huh.
And it's available at Keith and the Girl. And I love doing that. I don't have the passion to do stand-up regularly.
To like really chase it and do the thing.
Correct. But I still take that show very seriously.
Uh-huh. And but when you get ready for that show, what's the working process like?
I practice in my house.
Okay.
I'll practice in the house.
Uh-huh.
I will turn the TV on a little bit as though that was a heckler in case, you know, people are making noise with their beverages and whatnot. Uh-huh. I don't want to be thrown.
I've seen him set up, like, if there's any stuffed bears or stuff. There's like a couch full of like stuffed animals looking at them.
Okay, yeah. So it's like there's like a Rupert Pupkin kind of vibe to like, do you have like a painted thing of an audience?
I tell my wife not to interrupt me. I go, wife, I'm doing my stand-up.
Jerry, please. Greatest scene when he's just like, please, Jerry, I cannot host the show for 4 weeks. He's like, Rupert. Please. I'm begging you.
Yeah.
I need you.
Well, when I practice stand-up in my house, I think, like, a hard part is that the audience will not quit clapping, even right in the beginning for a good 10, 12 minutes.
Sure.
And I'm like, guys, please.
So it's that thing where you're just like, it's like all this applause, and you're like, guys, I only do this once a year. You're going to need to stop applauding, otherwise it's not going to be my birthday at a point.
Right.
Like, the applause will go so long... We will be 12:01, and I will have to legally stop doing the show.
I'll acknowledge the women in the audience taking their shirts off, but then we have to begin.
And where are you doing these shows?
It's in the living room.
Okay.
But then, when the show actually does come up, it'll be in a theater. And they seem to be more modest and keep their shirts on by that time.
When they're in the, not in your house.
Right.
Well, I get on, he doesn't know this, but I get on stage and I go, okay, you guys, practice is over. Mm-hmm. We've all shown him our boobs. That's
why. Yeah. And now it's time to bring it back down to earth.
Yeah.
So, Chemda, is there a movie you would not see? What is a movie that you would have to be paid to see?
I think, like, a movie that Danny was passionate about and keeps, like, arguing with me about to see, like, just to piss him off, I would just hesitate and maybe, like, $750 or an AIDS pill.
Right.
Like, what movie would that...
So specifically, have you seen the film 50-50?
I have.
It's I thought it was great. So much so, I hemmed and hated it. And I was like, you know what? I'll buy the DVD and we can watch it.
This is where he has cancer, right?
Yeah, it's where he has cancer.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to be a rock for Seth Rogen while he loses his hair and stuff.
So you were a super fan of that
movie. Yeah, I had a blog about it. I ran. I was the moderator on two message boards, two 50-50 message boards.
50-50.
You would not believe the behind-the-scenes stills that we posted. And So she was like, fine, show me the movie. And I bought the DVD, and then we watched like half of it. And she was like, no, I'm not going to watch more of this.
It was actually really fun to roast a movie that Danny adores because you can like watch his heart just.
But because it's a movie that's so sincere of just like.
They weren't playing that for laughs.
No, I want him to be better.
I don't think I like that movie anymore.
And then people are like, this movie's stupid.
It's
and you're just like, but I cried watching it.
Who hasn't cried watching everything?
Well, then what's a movie? What's the last movie you cried
what's
watching?
What's the last
Danny?
Movie I cried watching? Oh, boy.
I think.
Beetlejuice. It was Beetlejuice. Very scary.
You cried out of fear? Time. Straight up fear made you cry?
I cried when the uptight couple from Best in Show got kicked out.
All right.
Even though they yelled at each other
you're
and their dog.
Sensitive.
A lot sensitive. Of stuff gets me. When the mutant teenage turtles slipped in the ooze.
Mm-hmm. That got you.
It got me a little bit.
All right.
Because you thought they would die and it'd be a 5-minute
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought, I was at a short film festival.
Then
I thought.
Suddenly.
A turtle-based short film festival.
Suddenly they're dancing around
crime.
And on skateboards and
I thought,
right?
Probably. Right. I think they put wheels on electric guitars. And
yeah. Mike, yes. You ever watch any of those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies?
No.
No, it's not your speed.
Not my thing.
No.
I think you'd like it, Mike.
What's the last movie you cried at, Mike?
I thought there were some sad moments in Love and Mercy.
The Brian Wilson movie. What part, which guy got you? Dano or Cusack?
Whenever they played the music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The real Brian Wilson?
Yeah.
He didn't...
I got a good bootleg if you want.
I would watch that, yes. Did you see that movie? Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't.
No? You hate the Beach Boys?
No, I don't hate them. I went back and I'm trying to listen to these albums that are supposedly fantastic. And, you know, Pet Shop is, of course, fantastic. Yeah. But that's
classic all I can album, take. Pet Shop.
What's it called? Pet Shop Boys?
Pet Sounds.
Pet Sounds, right. That makes so much more sense. Pet Sounds.
I have heard of a pet shop.
I actually wish it was called Pet Shop, actually. That's actually, you actually improved it.
Oh, no, the one I saw was Pet Shop. I don't know about this other one.
So you're just doubling down on this. That it's called Pet Shop.
I'm like the guy that sent the wrong email. Yeah. I'm not caving.
It's autocorrect.
Yes. That was... I just said to them, I said, just admit it. It's okay.
It seemed already too late. It seemed too late to admit it, so they stuck with it.
They were just like, no, we want you to do the show. It's like, what would I do at your show?
You're a funny guy.
But I don't do, they're like, we thought maybe you'd come up and do characters. It's like, no, now you're just digging yourself a deeper hole trying to justify something that happens to everybody.
Part of you doesn't go, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I even asked, but I live in here.
You'll be there eventually. You're never in LA?
Not for this show. This show was like in 5 days.
For this bar show?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was like, and then I even asked the person who I knew was supposed to be the other person. They're like, yeah, they wrote me and asked me to do so. I was like, yeah, I just proved it.
Down.
Locked down.
Was the other person Amy Schumer?
Was not. So Keith and the girl, I'm not going to say who it is. Keith and the girl.
Give
the podcast. It's keithandthegirl.com.
Woody
right?
Allen. Oh, it was a woman you said,
yes,
right?
It was a woman. So,
Mrs. Woody Allen.
Sunyi?
No, it was not.
It's all right,
not
we're hard. Narrowing it down, though.
You're getting closer. You're getting closer. You'll never figure it out. Now, you guys, 5 days a week. Does the grind ever get to you on this?
The
grind.
Oh yeah, I hate it.
Are there
it,
days
Paul.
When you're just like, I would rather be anywhere else but here right now?
No, there's days like anything else, but somebody just asked me the other day, don't you run out of things to talk about? Unfortunately, you don't. You have what's going. You have Ahmed. You have the guy that survived the Twin Towers the other day. There's always stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that.
It's not, but it's brave, not.
That brave hero.
First he got out of the Exxon Valdez spill, and next thing you know.
That dude.
Oh, man.
He's a survivor, guys. Come on. He saw trauma.
I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard is that guy weaving this story.
It's so detailed.
And then all the detail he started painting this portrait of horror with every detail as if he was truly survived.
Yeah.
9/11.
The thing is he didn't think so far. He can never break up with that girlfriend. He can never have a real life because this thing follows him.
Yeah. Well, now he's free to do what he pleases. He's not bound by any secret now. No,
that's what he meant for this to happen.
He went from... It's like nothing's changed for this guy if you think about it. He went from...
Unknown.
Surviving 9/11 to being known as the guy who lied about surviving 9/11. It's like he's like... He's like, he has this other thing to escape now.
Right.
Like, he finally has something to escape that is, I'm not going to equate it with 9/11, but it's like, he is now stuck with his own nightmare of horror that he must escape from. And he is about to get the terror that he pretended he dealt with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he remembers that date.
It is funny. Yeah, right. This is his 9/11.
I bet he lies about this story too, though. In 10 years, he'll exaggerate it. Say more publications picked the story up. Mm-hmm. Right. Actually did.
I was on the cover of CNN.
I was outside of HuffPost's offices.
I remember being Time Magazine's Man of the Year, and people got upset because sometimes they put a negative person on the cover.
I had sex 3 times that morning.
Right.
It was a little low.
He makes up that a cab driver talked to him. He makes up he got out of the tower and a deli's giving away Gatorade. Because that's what you do. I don't know what that loud noise was, but here's Gatorade for everybody. You know these delis.
He created this thing where he like threw cab drivers under the bus. Yeah. He was just like, this guy tried to charge me $500 to get to Brooklyn.
And then
cab drivers.
And 2 Wall Street guys, they took it, but I didn't. And it's like, well, why didn't you take it? You
would have
split
so
it.
He's so modest.
Yeah, you would have split it 3 ways. Nah, it didn't seem right. Anyway, I don't really want to, even though I brought it up again, I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want you to think that I'm just using it for glory.
I don't
want to
make 9/11 my own story.
But that's what happens when somebody's stuck talking all. This guy ran out of stories very early. Like, he ran out of stuff so quickly. You guys are talking. I'm doing 3 hours talking here. You guys are talking for... With Danny's show, how many hours are you guys talking a week?
It feels like 1,000, but I think it's like 5 or 6.
Yeah, isn't it weird that we do it? So we do, 5 days a week. We've done it for 10 years. We all have spinoff shows on the Keith and the Girl Network. And yet, just to fill time, we never had a 9/11 story.
You never got that desperate to make up something like that. But this guy ran out. In like 20 minutes of like his first podcast, he's like, starts saying he survived 9/11. Like, and it's with Pauly Shore was the first. Mm-hmm. I guess he's bragging at bars. He was just like saying, I survived 9/11. And then Pauly Shore was like on a podcast with him. Was like, hey, you survived 9/11. So it's like Pauly Shore sunk this dude. It's like, you know, he must have just been looking at Pauly Shore like, no, I don't want to.
But this, you know what?
I feel like he's at bars going, hey, guys, neither here nor there. Where were you on 9/11?
Right.
And then he waits until it gets to him like, oh, me?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, funny you should ask.
And then people buy him drinks. I'm sure back then people were buying him drinks. And he
a lot of Manhattans.
We played some clips with him on, you know, Pauly Shores and Marc Maron, Sklar Brothers. And it made me wonder if Marc Maron, for example, talked to the Sklar Brothers and they're like, hey, ask him about 9/11. We all know it never happened. See if he goes with it. Because when he tells the 9/11 story, the interviewer always goes, really? That's crazy. It really seems like they're messing with him in hindsight. Really? That's unbelievable.
I never knew this about you.
Hearing him paint the thing, it's like when somebody is asking for money and they're just like, then they give like more details on a thing because they're trying to just make it seem real. Like he was doing that. Like. Yeah. Over detailing.
I tried to call the office.
This thing. Because he's like, I was on the 54th floor. Like he's throwing floor numbers out just like, so it sounds totally, it's totally, this has got to be believable. He threw floor numbers out. Well, my girlfriend was on the
24th
floor of the other Like, he's just like, well, and it's just like when somebody's like, hey, can you help me out with money? I missed the 10:30 bus from the thing. And they just like the details. Well, this guy couldn't be lying. He gave me specifics.
But the only thing that he forgot the whole time, every time he told the story, we heard it three different times, right, the places that you mentioned, he never tried calling his girlfriend.
He went home said, I was waiting for my girlfriend to come home, and that's when it hit me. I guess I got to call the family and tell her your daughter's dead.
Yep, because that's your first instinct.
Time to give up.
But lest you worry about this, right then was when she walked in the door. It was a real dramatic recovery.
It's so weird. It's like, it's just weird.
You know what would be really good? A Broadway musical of the retelling of his story.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. And the cast is everyone in the league.
So
Paul Scheer's playing one of the towers.
Sure. Get everybody from the league. They're all back. Guys.
It's like how they do that American Horror Story. Uh-huh. Same people, yeah, different roles.
Everyone just shift right one.
It's an anthology. On the call sheet. Yeah. It's just an anthology series. Yeah. We'll just keep this fun going. This fun.
It's the league presents 9/11.
So you're on board with this, I hear.
But when he admits it, does the wife go, wait a minute, I didn't say I was going to admit it.
There must be a point where they're just like, I guess we're all in with this now.
We just
can't.
I guess New York Times got it wrong, and there was indeed a Merrill Lynch in the building. Yeah. So I say we stick with it.
Was there a moment where he was like, he seriously sat down and said, how hard would it be for me to make it look like there was a Merrill Lynch? Where he's just like, would that take like hacking their website and like listing it in a thing? He's just like, how hard would it be? What, I got to make some stationery?
Yeah, do I just need letterhead?
Yeah, I could do letterhead. I know a guy at a Kinko's. He'd run some off for me, and I'd.
I was thinking a couple days later was his Comedy Central special. And I was thinking he should call up Comedy Central and go, listen, I will give you all the money from the special, from the album, etc. If you do me a favor, let's go back to that stage and I do a quick 5-minute joke about making up a 9/11 story. Uh-huh. You insert that in and it'll be like, oh, it got blown out of proportion.
As if it was in there the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then it would just seem like the It seemed like the creepiest promo tour for his special. Yeah, I figured I'd get the word out for my upcoming stand-up special by lying about escaping. Hey, Bright Side, special's on. Everybody can laugh now. It didn't actually happen. But 9/11. Now he will. What does he do now? Does he do like a one-man show now? Like in 2 years, he'll do like a one-man show about this.
Studio 54.
Mm-hmm. What?
You could call it Studio 54. That was the name of the floor he didn't work on. That was the name of it. That was its formal name.
Okay. That.
I think he should test out in 2 years if anyone remembers his name or even. Uh-huh. You know,
puts the two together.
Yeah, because people forget names.
That's not a name you forget, though.
Right. This is my never forget. When you look up, how to spell his last name.
When you have three tweets about him, you have to. You really have to know his name.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. Where are you at on this Steve Ranazzisi guy?
He says I love it.
You know what? I just found out about this.
Mm-hmm.
Happened recently or
last
14
week.
Years ago?
Yeah. Well,
2001.
Yes. It's weird, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it sounds like a guy just who boxed himself in with something he never meant to go past one night at a bar where he was just shooting his mouth off to sound interesting because he had nothing to talk. What other is he? He's just another drip trying to make it in comedy. So he stood out for one night, and then 15 years later, he's now getting his comeuppance.
Do you think he regretted it as soon as he did it? Like, I survived 9/11. Why did I say that?
The fear for 14 or however long it's been, 6 years. He must have been so scared for 6 years. Like, someday the story's going to come out and it will ruin me.
Yeah, because he's going for fame.
Yeah.
He's
got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a Google fill-in now.
He's now the first. He might be the first Steve that comes up on Google.
If you could go 9/11 guy, he's up right away.
Well, there's Dust Lady and then the Falling Man and then it's Steve.
Yeah.
Wow.
Steve Ranazzisi.
There's a whole movie on Netflix about, it's called The Woman Who Wasn't There.
That's the
And same thing, except she started a lot of, I think she started a 9/11 support group.
Yes.
And she helped a lot of people. And it was like such a nice story, except that she was never there.
Yeah, kind of the, brought up a reason, like, why is it so bad? And I don't know if he knows, but a reason easily is, you know, whether you were there or not there, if it traumatized you and you have trouble moving on with your life and you're like, what's wrong with me that Steve can be on TV and move on with his life and become a success and I must be less than because I'm crying daily.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like, why can't I pull it together the way this guy's got it together? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he wasn't there. That's why, that's why he's doing better than you. Yeah, there is that. There is a, because the way he painted it, the details are, I think, what sinks him ultimately with it. The fact that he talked about the nightmares and the things like
that.
Oh,
you have a falling dream.
He always said, I have the falling dreams, you know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and so that's what, if there's something he's going to, that's what he has to work to get past, I think. That's the damning part of it.
He should say he did, like, acid and saw a 9/11 movie and it really confused him.
And then just be like, I was sorry, guys. And he should have just blamed it all on Pauly Shore. Should have just been like, I didn't say that. Pauly Shore's a moron. I didn't say it. Just like, just swing it to him like, I never said that.
Pauly Shore. Mark Maron's also a moron. And one of the Sklar brothers is.
Well, no, but then it all started with Pauly Shore that first time he brought it up. Like, Pauly Shore was the one who brought it back up, and he should have just said that night, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're aware.
Yeah, what are you talking about? And just make Pauly Shore start to doubt himself. No, you're the guy who did the thing with the 9/11 and the thing. He could have been like,
scary.
Why are you weaseling out of there?
With the juice and the thing. And be like, Pauly, seriously, Pauly, I don't know what you're talking about. I wish you were at the bar that night talking all about 9/11. He'd be like, you're insane. And make him just finally just end it that way. Get Pauly Shore, throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
You escape.
What if this was like his drunk story? Like every time he got drunk, he really thought he was there and he told this whole story. And then people started asking him when he was sober and his drunken brain convinced him that he was. I mean, this is the best case scenario. Right.
But you know, like there was one day of deliberation before he admitted it. You know, him and his wife were going through every single scenario. Just like you said, do you pretend Merrill Lynch was there and the Times didn't get it right? And all the information about it burned.
It's obviously time to go to rehab.
Do you think they went as far to say, like, should we leave the country? Leave tonight?
Yeah.
Like, should we could do it.
Okay, we have a daughter. Okay, let's think.
Right.
Oh God! Do they have a daughter?
They have a daughter, and
I forgot.
They were at the Pauly Shore podcast. The wife was there on the couch during this, holding the daughter.
Ugh! At some point, you're gonna have to explain to your daughter that on the news you were at 9/11, both of you, but you weren't there. Otherwise, you're lying to your daughter too. It's a never-ending, never-forget story.
Right.
It never stops.
They must have like fantasy footy in England or something. He and the wife could move out there, and start a new life.
And there's probably a tragedy over there. They
have fantasy footy leagues in England.
Uh huh.
They call soccer footy over there.
Okay.
Those weirdos.
Uh huh.
Like they invented the word.
So do they have?
We could try that. That was not the most far-fetched thing.
Okay,
I could have said.
Did your heart just break, Danny?
Oh, so you're just saying I got it now. He could be on the UK version of the league.
Six episodes a season. It's easy.
Sure.
If you kept painting Danny into a corner, he was about to say he survived Hurricane Sandy.
You were getting close to. Yeah.
It was Irene. Look, but
I'm sorry, I said that.
You almost triggered me, but you didn't.
Don't worry, that's okay.
Thanks, buddy. I called you buddy on the air once, and you hung up on me.
I'm over it. I forgot all about it.
Did you hear that, Mike? Do you recognize this guy's voice, Mike, Danny? He sounds like a caller, though, right?
Yeah, I do. I certainly do. You gave me open mic tips.
Let's do one right now.
Sure. Am I on the air? Is this me?
Best show.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
You're already, I would have hung up on you.
He fell.
Is this
hey,
me?
Tom.
Is this me?
I'd like
hey, what's
to,
up? Who's this?
This is Danny in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. I'd like to enact one of the caller.
What part of Brooklyn are you in?
I forgot already. I'm so nervous.
See, that would.
I hate myself.
So, yeah, I just want to say I'm nervous right now. I want to enact one of my rights.
That's right. Those are the rights of callers.
And
callers
I guess rights. I'll also take one of – I'll take that. I get to talk for a minute uninterrupted one, too. Can I do a twofer?
I did give you that.
Yeah, you
did. I granted you that,
You
right?
invited a vampire. You didn't grant me that the time I called, but I should have. I think that was before my time. Anyway, gosh, what do I want to talk about? I have a whole minute. I think we should go easier on Stephen Azizi. I think Anne Frank would have been a believer.
You're just pouring it all out
yeah.
real fast.
I guess I'll take my answer off the air.
It's just a volume game.
Uh-huh.
You're just trying to like get as many points on the board as
exactly.
possible.
Exactly.
And then hope.
It's like the SATs. If you don't know, just
uh-huh.
guess.
Yeah, you're just yeah. swinging.
Thanks for having me on C.
I'm going to ask some rapid-fire questions to you guys. Let's see what we got here.
So far, it's too quick.
Get ready. Get comfortable, because here they come. And what's the longest you've gone without sleeping?
Oh, man. We did a marathon show probably 18 hours, maybe 20.
Yeah, we've done the longest marathon show 24? We've ever done was 76 hours, and yeah. we probably didn't sleep 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, those were fun. I love those.
After that, did you just sleep and sleep and sleep?
Forever.
No, no. First, we went out to eat like crazy people.
Yeah. Now you're just like,
yeah.
You're just like, I'm ramped up and I can't come down from this.
Yeah.
We, and then.
We went out to eat for like a 2-hour meal
yeah,
to talk to each other.
Yeah. We had more.
Talking for 76
yes.
hours.
Yes.
And still, I didn't tell a 9/11 story.
You still, you see, you still had enough in that 76 hours that you did not make up. Something about you escaping 9/11. Keith, what's the dumbest purchase you've ever made?
What's the last thing I bought? dumbest purchase I ever made. Kendall, what's the dumbest purchase I ever made?
$30 worth of Oreos?
No, that's the greatest purchase. This is so appreciated.
He buys a lot of creams.
Whenever I like creams and lotions. Whenever... whenever I'm, I collect shot glasses from all.
Let's not rush past this creams and lotions because
okay.
this could be helpful to because a lot of dudes don't know about creams and lotions.
Right? Can I talk about how I survived Hiroshima instead?
What is the kind of what kind of creams are we talking about?
I enjoy regular your old fashioned body lotion.
Okay.
I enjoy the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And. What Hend is more referring to is that I have a medicine drawer in my house.
He has a medicine room. It's
okay.
ridiculous.
I have every medicine
uh-huh.
that a guest could ever need.
Okay.
And I always update them if they go past the warning.
He thinks expiration dates are real.
Of
like,
course they're
on
rare.
The mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it... is the day after some food says to throw it out, he will throw it out.
Yeah, no, that's not how they want you to throw it out.
Yeah.
And so that you can go buy another one.
It's arbitrary. You smell the food. Look at it.
But if it's medicine.
Nah.
Medicine's medicine. So my wife makes fun of this too. Like, why do I have everything for every
yeah.
case? Until guess what? Guess who gets
somebody
diarrhea all of
it.
A sudden?
Somebody needs it.
I have it.
Somebody needs the allergy thing. You get the jar that just says pills. Break that back out.
I was,
take one of these. There's 6,000 of them in here.
I did the same thing when I was single. I like being a host and I was single. I'm living by myself. I had Midol. I had PMS medicine.
So you were just ready for any?
I'm ready for it.
I
didn't smoke. I had cigarettes for people.
Wow, that is a good host.
I'm the best.
Or is it deeply desperate for friendship
no,
and connection?
It's thoughtful.
Thank
you. Do you want cigarettes
no,
and Midol?
It's not thoughtful. It's like, well, if she has a period, she can't say anything because I have Midol. So we can still have sex.
Well, look, that might be... I'm not going to get into that part of it. I read that on the surface
Thank
as being
you.
Thoughtful.
If he's annoying, I can give him cigarettes and he'll die faster.
So we're spot on with the Keith
voice. We are.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who was talking there for a second.
It was you,
that
Tom.
It was me.
Yeah, I have sty medicine. There's, I can't think
You're such a creep. It's only creepy to have all this medicine.
You know those, and I'm not like a hypochondriac or anything, but you know the, how that guy bought that AIDS medicine and now he charges $750 mm-hmm. for, yeah. I have 20 of them.
You have 20, so you, already. You have,
I'm good.
Like what, 15 grand?
Mm-hmm. Was this in the pre-Turing pharmaceuticals days or did you get it after they marked it up?
I got it when it was $13 a pill.
Don't you worry about it, Danny. He has it.
Okay, sorry.
I haven't. Guess who's not getting it?
Hemda.
Hemda and?
Tom?
Danny. Mm.
Danny, what makes you sad?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Bye, everyone.
Chairs.
Just like what's a, like, just what makes you sad?
What makes me sad? The future. It makes me nervous, which makes me sad. Everything does. I'm depressed. Uh-huh. I don't know. You probably couldn't tell by my demeanor.
Well, you just seem like a dude. You're all right.
Thanks, man.
I don't think you're doing poorly.
I'm not, you know, I'm not a...
You over it now?
Yeah, I'm good. If Tom says I'm healthy, I'm healthy.
Look.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I just, my, and that, you think I'm doing
does
so
this
great.
This guy
yeah.
seems super depressed to you, Mike. What? No, he seems all right. He seems a little...
Thanks, Mike.
We'll see that... But he, you know what that was, Mike, right there? Yeah, he got a little bit of money and he had to gamble it, right?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a little bit, you had to take it. Mike said you're doing all right, you had to take a shot at Mike.
Well, here's the thing. I was raised on taking shots at Mike, but you. See, I'm doing
but it
what
was
people
exactly
do to me.
The same thing I said that you
I know,
said, you
I know.
Said it drives
well,
you
I was,
nuts.
It doesn't really, here, behind the scenes, if nothing has ever gotten to me and I'm a cool cat.
But if you're suddenly doing the thing and it's
you're right,
like,
I
hey,
got,
you're Danny from Keith and the Girl, and then they start berating you the way either Keith or Hemda
sure.
do, then you're just like, why are you doing this to me?
Yes.
The same thing
I guess I did. In all fairness, I don't think I was making fun of Mike. I think I was saying I'm really depressed with my tone.
That's what I think so too. Him,
yeah,
him
I didn't
saying,
catch that.
Him
yeah.
saying okay. thanks, Mike, is like, you just made me better.
But
this and that, you just made him think he's a...
But while we're on the subject...
How did you take that, Mike?
Yeah, I didn't take it as an insult.
Okay, see there.
But maybe while we're here, Mike, what a creep, right?
Who, Mike?
Yeah,
no.
Boy. No,
come
not
on.
That one, Kaplan.
Oh.
He is weird.
Shout out.
Elliott Smith music makes me sad.
Elliot
I have to
Smith.
Be in a certain I loved him as a teenager. Now I have to be in a mood.
And do you like to play it and get sad to it, or do you try to run from it so you don't hear it and get sad?
Well, it's horrible running music. There's like no beat at all. No, I have to if I'm like, oh, I'm in a sad mood.
Run. Yeah, you're going to
it's tough.
It's Jim listening to Elliott Smith.
Either or, you'd think it has a lot of tempo changes, but it's pretty even the whole way.
Do you think there's something to depressed people keep listening to depressed music?
But I don't, though. I have to be in a frame of mind for Elliott Smith. I don't just listen to him willy-nilly these
listen
days.
To something upbeat, like Pet Shop.
Sure, I love Pet Shop. That's my favorite.
The Beach Boys.
Brian Williams album. I love it.
Wouldn't it
you
be
know,
cool? It's on
Brian,
there.
It's Brian Williams' masterpiece.
Yeah,
Pet Shop.
He mixed it at 9/11.
Yes.
What makes you sad, Tom?
Please don't say me.
No. I don't know. I get sad by the... Aww. The shortcomings of humanity.
Mm. Does this
sad.
Donald Trump thing scare you like it scares me?
No. I'm
no.
not worried about that.
Okay. Mm. Me neither.
It's a
I
big
lied.
Deal.
He's not. No one's calling
like
him.
Like a year
you know?
And a half from the election right now.
Still, though, we care. You think we're going to just stop caring?
Do we?
We do. I'm speaking for all of humanity when
all
I
right.
speak for myself, but I say we do.
I'm voting for.
No, this was my issue with it.
So the guy is, yeah, but that's like so far away.
No, it is. See, part of it, it's tempered. It's I'm not like, you know, shaking in my shorts all night about it. But just, I don't know, the fact that everything
Mike,
he's
not shaking in his shorts all night.
You've never heard that phrase before?
Shaking in my shorts?
All night.
You have
all
a vibrator?
Night. No, I haven't.
But I don't know. It's no one's calling him on it. Anything he's doing, he's getting more and more audacious, and he's just rising in the polls. It just makes me nervous, is all.
But everybody's calling him on it.
Yeah, okay, they're calling him on it, and nothing. The public isn't taking heed. The public is saying no more. We want Barabbas.
This is going to be, you know, it's going to be like Danny.
Yeah. Yes. Or, no, I don't.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. Thank you. Remember the movie Snakes on a Plane? And then when like everybody online was like. hey, maybe we should, why don't they add this into Snakes on a Plane? And then, like, the people making Snakes on the Plane were like, okay, we'll add this. And then they were like, have them do this in Snakes, have them say this in Snakes. So then they added to it. And then it gets to the point where you, then Snakes on the Plane was going to come out. You thought it was going to be the biggest movie ever because for a year, everybody had just been talking about Snakes on a Plane online. Then it came out and everybody's like, yeah, I'm not going to go see Snakes on a Plane.
I didn't see it.
I talk about that at work. Like, I waste time at work talking about that, but I'm not actually going to choose that.
Right, I'm not
going to
waste my time.
That's what this whole thing's going to be.
All right, well, that's helpful. I hadn't looked at it that way.
I thought we were all getting paid $500 to see it, which is why I didn't catch it.
I think I would see that. That might be an even swap, that one. But I don't know. Maybe you got to pay me $4 to see Snakes on a Plane. Just enough. I got to get something out of this to choose Snakes on a Plane over all these other movies. What's that, Mike? Oh.
They're doing production.
Yeah, okay. All right. Can you tell him, like, 10?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that... Because we slid everything. We're sliding everything back tonight. We're sliding it back because we had some...
Tell them, like, 12.
12.
I got thoughts.
You got thoughts. Let's see what else we got here. I want to ask one more. What's the most... Any of... All three of you, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity? Think.
Oh, God. Oh, I did the stupid thing, like, aren't you you?
Who'd you do it to?
I still can't remember her name.
Who did you think she was?
Okay, she is a celebrity. I'm bad with celebrities. I actually think she is incredible. I just don't know celebrity names. Okay. I just enjoy them in the role that they play.
Sure.
Taylor Swift.
You ready, Keith? Keith is good like this with me because I'm bad at names. She was on The Sopranos. She was one of
Annette Bening.
What's his face is cheating things. Oh. She was in Jungle.
Oh, I know. Who was in, right, Jungle Fever?
Yeah.
Tim Allen, Jungle to Jungle.
The woman.
I'm out.
Her. That's what I did to her. I was like, you're in.
It's like skuh.
And so, you said, you're somebody from a thing.
Oh, aren't you?
Yeah. And then she was like.
She was like, am I?
Yeah. Anybody, Keith, you humiliated yourself in front of?
Not humiliated. We had call-ins are tough.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to when, you know, the person's live in the studio. And I was talking to, because I feel like you're not getting everything. You're missing a tone.
You got to bridge the gulf a little
right.
more.
So I was telling Bobcat Goldthwait what a genius writer I think he is. And I meant it. And I don't know if nobody says this to him, but he thought I was sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid, we had like, we got, my dad sold insurance. Somebody gave him like one of the first Betamaxes. So it's a big deal in our poor family. And one of the first tapes was Hot to Trot. And I'm a kid and I liked it because I couldn't believe we had a movie in our house.
Yeah.
He thought I was picking on him because nobody likes Hot to Trot. It's a talking horse for God's sake.
Yeah.
So that went south.
So that one you just lost the...
Yeah, he thought every time I said, I think Windy City Heat is genius. He's like, who are you? Who put you up to this?
You couldn't. Yeah, that kind of thing. And it's just like,
so he hates me now.
We should just, let's make a clean break.
Right.
Yeah. We got a call from the person who like linked us up. Mm-hmm. It was a buddy of mine. He's like, what are you doing? This is like a thing we did. Yeah. What is happening? I'm like, you know me. I wouldn't just berate a person that you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Our show is never like that. Like, you know, we're a lot of these shows, they have somebody on just to, you know, yell at him.
Yeah, exactly. Though,
if we had a psychic on, we wouldn't even have a psychic on to yell at him.
No, you guys are doing a thing. You're talking to people. Yeah. You're filling the space. You have 8,000 hours a year to fill. You don't have time to yell at these people. You can't have them hang up.
It's still somebody got to answer the door. Yes.
Danny.
What did you say?
Embarrassing.
To Tom?
Embarrassing encounters.
Yeah, I saw Patti Smith in an elevator once.
See, this is... No, this is. Mike, can you remove Danny from the studio?
Well, it's fine. You were on my show. That's a show.
I was, yes.
And it was great.
It's a great show.
Thank you.
And you were hyping. I remember you were hyping some real cool music that show.
Oh, the Decemberists.
Nobody had ever heard of.
Okay, that wasn't
this new Decemberists record. You were trying to turn everybody
the new
on.
Stephen
to.
King novel. I was trying to get him some press.
You were saying, "Hey, everybody, here's an author you might want to check out. His name's Stephen King.
I love it.
And here's a band you might want to check out called the Decemberists. Any other cool picks you want to give us?
Yeah, have you heard of the Pixies?
The Pixies. You want to maybe tell us about Avengers: Age of Ultron?
Ooh, I've heard he's a bad guy. So I had Chris Gethard on that show.
Okay. Yeah. How did that go?
Well, you know me. I'm an awkward guy, and Chris is an awkward guy, and you'd think that they would work in tandem, our sensibilities, and they really didn't.
Uh-huh.
And the first show, it was just weird and awkward. And I feel like he felt like I was picking on him, but really I was just being awkward. And the second time, I tried to like self-consciously like do
a
bit. Wait,
he did it a second time?
He did it a second time, yeah. Would you like to?
What did he do wrong?
I have pictures
of him.
Did he
lose a
bet? Yeah, he lost two. So the second time I tried doing this bit where I like mended the Chris Gethard bridge, I called it, and I grabbed his hand, and he was like, "Don't touch my hand, dude." He was like, "Don't grab my hand without warning me." And I was still so far deep in that hole, I kept trying to like, "What do you mean?" But
you.
I was embarrassed.
Did you guys see this happen?
Oh, they were there.
And you were just like
front row seats.
Oh, it was fantastic. Like, no. We let it happen.
Of course you got to let it happen. But did you just feel empathy for him? Like, oh, Danny.
Because we're watching it. I can't even tell if Chris was like serious because he also plays it up, you know, and he plays it up around Danny extra because they're both playing up some weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure who's doing
what. Me either.
Yeah. So I'm like, wait, is Chris mad? Wait, is Danny going to continue? Oh, my God. Quick, somebody call his mom.
I talked to Chris about you.
Oh, really?
And he thinks you're funny.
Oh, good. Well, tell him I'll hold his hand anytime he wants.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Thank
Danny
you.
Put together a CD from That's the Show with Danny.
I did.
And I've heard it, and I'll tell you what, no joke, excellent.
You're on it?
Excellently awkward.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of.
Who knows, man?
We're all going to die.
Good job, Danny.
Exactly. We are all
selling
just here.
It.
You almost had a real moment, Danny. Good
I
catch.
Didn't. I knew the whole time it was fake. You can't get one past this guy.
Yeah. You snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. You pulled it out. Back to Danny land.
I got to keep my brand strong.
It is keeping your brand strong.
The brand of not winning.
You almost won. Yeah. You're like, it's like Charlie Brown with his brand.
Danny does such a good job of being awkward. We're ending the tour in Oklahoma City because he's from there. Like, it was part of it. We actually, I think we crossed one entire state just to get to end in Oklahoma City, and we're putting his mom on stage with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
And his mom pretends to not be into it, and she's
she's into
what? I can't believe my son is saying it, but, like, she adores it.
Oh, everybody will lose their minds.
She'll sell me right down the river for a song.
No, it's going to be a triumph.
Oh, I mean, I'm very excited. I've talked to my mom.
Do you still have a lot of friends back in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Are they all going to come out?
I hope so.
Yeah, they'll all come out. You're going to
You're
going to finally show them all.
That's the thing. I'm coming back as a hometown hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember the weirdo who fell asleep in church and maybe his puberty happened and everyone said he had a wet dream during Mass? Well, now he's doing comedy for you.
You know what's going to happen? Don't get spooked, though. Seriously.
Oh, I'm already spooked right now. So I can't imagine.
Don't just relax with it.
Okay.
Don't spook yourself out with it.
Okay.
Because you know you're gonna
succeed or spook myself.
No, you're gonna spook. You're gonna. Okay. It's gonna be your default setting is gonna be to overthink this one.
All right. So let me take notes.
Don't overthink it.
Overthink it, but don't overthink it. Okay.
He's saying 1,000 things can go wrong. Don't focus on these things.
Just relax. You go back. You show everybody who you are now.
No, right? It's going to be great. I'm going to...
What's worse? The Oklahoma City show that we're ending it and your mom's going to be on and everyone that you know is going to be there? Or the Comedy Store where it's like a thing to get there and...
neither is worse. They're both blessings, and I'm very lucky. I don't know why my angle for this is acting like I'm pained, but
The Comedy Store.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Hope that the ghost of that one dude who jumped off the roof of the hotel next door doesn't get you.
Mitzi Shore,
you know, he gets people.
He gets people?
Yeah.
Well, how does he get them?
He makes them have a bad set. I don't want to talk
about
it.
Does he go, boo?
He just inhabits your body. And then you're.
Have you met him?
The ghost?
The ghost, yeah.
No, I'm.
Or it. Are they, is it still a him?
And that hotel, you know what that hotel is next to the Comedy Store?
That's Holiday Inn?
No, it's the Hyatt. That's the Riot House. That's where Led Zeppelin shoved cars out of into pools and Keith Moon went crazy. That's the famous hotel.
Wow.
The Riot House. Where are you staying in
I listen to dubstep only, so.
Where are you staying?
In a tour bus. We're driving through the night.
Staying on the bus.
Yep. Everyone else has a hotel room, but I get to sleep in the cab part of the tour bus. I don't even get my own bunk. They let me sit in a folded up couch.
Actually, I just found out that we get 3 parking spaces at the Comedy Store, so we'll get to park our bus back there, which means, you know, there's like a hangout space out there. Which means we get to hang out and show people our tour bus.
Yeah.
I'm so dorky about this tour bus. No,
you should be. It's awesome. You have a tour bus.
There's a shower on there. There's like bunk beds
and
stuff. There's
a toilet we don't get to use.
How many people are on the bus?
72, but divided 72. The money.
But none of us have big personalities, so it's easy to
So you guys are actually just... You sure this isn't just a Greyhound bus that's going from these cities that you guys are just buying tickets for?
We're also sneaking Syrian migrants in.
Okay.
How many people are on the bus? Maybe 7 or 8 total?
9.
No. 9.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 8. You said no, but it. All right. 8. I'm going to go.
8 people.
Strangle on myself with this
8
mic
plus
cord.
Driver.
Yeah.
The drivers rotate out.
No.
So this dude.
Look at money bags over here.
No, I'm just trying to figure. You got to let these dudes sleep at some point.
Well, we finish the show and we have like a curfew to get on the bus.
Okay.
Like maybe at 1 a.m.
Within their window of thing, yeah.
So from 1 a.m. to probably like 8 a.m. he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the new city. He sleeps.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Wally.
This is going to be exciting.
It's going to be
And
so
when
great.
Does this start? When?
October 9th.
October 9th.
In Seattle.
And where can people get more information on these live shows? 10 shows in 10 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. KeithandTheGirl.com/tour.
Okay.
And by the way, each city has a clever video that Danny shines in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I may say, shines.
Oh, I'm a vampire and we shot it in the daylight.
Because 10 shows in 10 days, that goes back to the Mike Watt thing where if you're not playing, you're paying.
Mm. Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you guys...
Yeah, we can't miss a city because this is such an expensive tour. Like, we're taking a huge risk with this bigger...
Yes,
yeah.
But it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Do you want to come?
I can't.
Okay. I have half a bunk open if you change your
mind. Oh, so we'd go halvesies
in of course.
In
I'm not going to give up on my dream for you.
Uh-huh. Sure. Well,
but
I wouldn't want to
share my
dream. I don't want to step on your dream. This is your moment.
Thank you, Tom.
The moment when you get into Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. Trip on stage, I'm sure.
And look, I'm not saying it's some thing that you got to get it all back, everything. It's some one moment to get it all back, all those years. In one night? It's not that. It's going to just be a piece of cake.
Yeah. No,
you're going to get up there. You're going to show everybody, look at me now.
Yeah, I am.
Keith and the girl.
Keith and the
girl.
I'm
not that guy.
No, I'm not Swirly Jr.
The guy you ran out of town. I'm not him anymore.
As soon as we graduated, they were like, all right, bucko, get up on out of here.
They walked you to, like, Rambo. They walked you to the edge of town.
They did.
Made you leave.
When everybody starts acting like, hey, we were always good friends, are you going to go with it?
Yeah, most of them were fine. It's not like I was that ostracized.
Okay.
It was a Catholic school, after all, so... I don't know why that means the morals were there. But everyone was great, and I love them. And come out. Get tickets.
Oh.
Ooh, who else can I burn bridges with?
Well, guys, I thank you so much for coming and being a part of the show and coming all the way here. You know what it's like to get people to come do things, so I appreciate you coming.
Thank you for having us. It's a huge, huge thrill.
And this tour is going to be super exciting. 10 shows, 10 days. KeithandTheGirl.com/tour.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. You can have shirts and things.
Yes.
Posters. You have posters,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Even that's exciting.
Are you going to sign them?
No.
What?
No.
No.
These are mint conditions only.
Okay. All right. So no signing of the posters.
We'll sign your boob, though.
You hear that?
Also, no. That's sacred against God.
All right,
okay.
Fine.
That's so
just belly
sacred
buttons.
Against God. Yes.
Are we married? Sure, I'll sign your boobs, but...
Okay. All right. You don't. I don't think this is going to be an issue for you, Danny.
No? Why not?
I think you're.
Well, if you say so.
This is not going to be something you're going to have to figure out
okay,
where
that's
you
good.
Stand on
I've
that.
Been fretting about it. It's
well, you can rest easy with that decision. It will not present itself.
Can I tell you? I was this close to dropping out of a tour because I didn't know what I was going to do if that happened. Uh-huh. But now that I know.
Now you're in.
I'm in it to win it,
you're
baby.
In.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for
Thank
coming
you
down,
so
Keith,
much.
Hemda, and Danny. I appreciate it. And everybody go, everybody listen to the show, keithandthegirl.com, and go get, if you're on the West Coast, get the tickets, keithandthegirl.com/tour.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Starts in October 9th?
Mm-hmm.
How can you beat that? Well, I'm going to play a record, and then we're going to talk to Kevin McDonald. Kids in the Hall.
From Pet Boys? What are you going to play?
From Pet Boys,
from
yes.
Petco?
From Petco. He's a guy who works
at
Petco.
Yeah, he's a cashier?
Yes. Here's a record by No Bunny. He's at Gonerfest, which I'm not going to be at this year. Unfortunately, everybody, have fun down in Memphis. And let's listen to something from, this is from the album Secret Songs by No Bunny on Goner Records. And I'll be back in a couple minutes with Kevin McDonald. All right, best show back again here. It is time. We're moving along tonight, man. We're moving along. You all right, Mike? You having a good time out there? All right, let's go to the hotline. I'm being told to go right to the hotline.
You're going to say hello.
Going right to the hotline. Right to the hotline.
Hello?
I have my guest here. No, hello? This is not some trash person on the line. This is an actual super legend. Just a legend. There are trash people. Then there are regular people. Then there are good folk. Then there are famous people. Then there are the upper pantheon, which is the legends. And this guy is in that final category. The highest of high, a legend. One of the kids in the hall. The guy who's made so many laughs for us over so many years. We have Kevin McDonald on the show. Kevin, are you there?
I am there. Hello. Thank you for the introduction. Every time you said super legend, I whispered the word cult in front of it.
Cult. A cult.
Super legend.
No, that's not. It's not cult. What? Because what is it? It's either you're supposed to be the Michael J. Fox or... Like, was that you're comparing, measuring yourself against?
I feel I know you already. Our definition of super legend would be like culty kind of things. But some people out there, they would think Michael J. Fox, and they would think as a super legend, me as cult. I'm just stating. The Pixies, are they cult legends? I think so.
I think they're cult. But they're not. They're just, it just is now, Kevin. It just, everything just is. It's like,
I know.
There's never going to be another Eagles type size band. Like, that's not happening again in terms of a band selling 20 million albums. Those days are
gone.
I
know. It's different times. I can watch a movie on a phone. I understand. Yes, you're right.
Wait, you can watch a movie on a phone?
Yes. Yes. I took my time machine to the place where they can, yes. But I know what you're saying. No more Michael Jackson, no more Beatles, no more Eagles. I know.
Look, in some of those cases, that some are sad and some are good in other cases.
And so it's all sort of mixing together, maybe, yes. But still, in the real world, and I'm enjoying this conversation, is that millions of people have heard of the Eagles and hundreds of people have heard of the Kids in the Hall.
More than hundreds have heard of Kids in the Hall.
Maybe 900, maybe 1,000.
So it's like an even 1,000. So you guys, wow.
We made it. We hit 1,000.
My perception of the whole thing is a little different than yours. Oh boy.
1,000. Okay, I don't know. I just went on Twitter in June and I have 8,000 followers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't gauge Twitter against anything because that's just It's like if you didn't get in on that thing in the right 3 month if you got in the right 3 month window, then you have.
When was that window? I'll go back to my time machine. When was that window? Dave Foley has, like, I think 80,000. Uh-huh. He's been there for a while, but he is the most I'm whispering so I don't hear it.
Kevin McDonald. You don't want to hear you don't want to hear the meaning behind it.
Don't tell Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, that is. So you have first of all, you should have more than 8,000 followers. The guy who screens calls AP Mike for the shows, he's gaining on you. Mike's hot on your heels.
Style of tweeting. I'm doing a thing that people are calling. Hey, this is more like serial tweets, like because I don't know how to do 120 characters. I have to go to like 1,002. That's my favorite number. 1,002 characters. So I do sort of more serial tweets. And maybe I'm boring people.
Well, look, I'm looking at your account right now.
Yes, go ahead.
Am
I right? 8,000?
You're hanging strong in the mid 8,000s.
There you go.
You're coming up on 8,500.
There you go.
So, but you also.
I get about 1,000 a month. I've been counting, but I've been getting. I'm a social scientist, and I've been getting about 1,000 a month.
So this is all just a game for you, is what you're saying.
It's a game. It is. It is a sort of a social scientist. I'm using me as a guinea pig, for sure. By the way, I think the Kids in the Hall were the Pixies of comedy. That's why I always say the Pixies. How they paved the way for Nirvana. I don't know who Nirvana was in my allegory, but I feel we paved the way for some kind of Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you paved the way for that, but you had moments of glory that will stand forever.
Yeah. I think we're great. I'm not being so much self-effacing. I'm just, as my father used to say, I'm just fact stating, Kevin. Yeah, but you called me fat. I'm fact stating. So that's what I'm doing. I love us, but we're, I would say, cult.
I gotcha. Yeah. But you, Kevin McDonald.
And maybe in a way we want to be cult. Yeah. Maybe we think it's cool. We were like 16 when punk rock started, when Nevermind the Bollocks came out. So maybe in a weird way we sort of subconsciously, this is the best interview I've ever had already, by the way. It's sort of like therapy. Maybe this is this was our way of remaining cool, having people like us, but not many people. Maybe that's what we wanted. I don't know.
Well, I'm being told Dave Foley has 158,000 followers.
Oh, my God. So I thought it was 80. Oh, my God.
He's got 150,000 more than you.
Whatever you do, don't tell Kevin McDonald. He'll faint.
Okay. But you, first of all, I say Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall, my favorite member of Kids in the Hall.
Well, thank you. Even if you're lying, it's a very sweet lie. Thank you very much.
But it's not a lie. It's true because you were the funny one, the way I referred to the show.
Thank you. The others sort of say that too. But again, are they just saying that because I was the least successful and they're just being cool?
I looked at it as they would. It was like. Do you know what T-ball is? Do you have T-ball in Canada?
Yes, the baseball where you put on tea, little children.
Yes, on the stand. The other four guys took turns putting the ball on the T-ball stand, and then you were the only one with a bat who swung.
I think I understand.
So you hit all the balls, and they. They set you up like you were
right.
Like the Reggie
that's
Jackson.
Sort of the best description of I know you don't mean just this, but you could use it as the best description of a straight man I've ever heard in my life.
That's they were four straight men
for me, yes.
And teeing up, it's just like we know who the slugger is.
Right. Just, thank you. And they're always very nice. They always say I'm the funniest. I don't know if it's true. If you go by points. Let's say for like there's four or five different comedy categories. If you get 5 points for first place, 4 points, I may win by points. For example, for comedy timing, Dave Foley probably is in first place. He gets 5 points. But I'm in second. I get 4. For characters, I may be in second place. Someone else would be like Mark would be 5. I would get 4. And if you go on, I would get 4 all the time. So if you add it up by points, I may be the first.
You'd win. It's just the idea, like you just know what it takes. To just win, and then it's one of those things where it's like people feel robbed.
One single event, but yeah. he ended up winning in points.
He came in third every time,
but the others went from first to fifth.
Yes, exactly. Well, maybe you should have been more likable.
Maybe. Is there a sport like that, decathlon or something, where you can like where you do different things and you finish second or third all the time? You could end up winning the whole thing.
There are things. I think that's like, isn't that like bike when they do like the Tour de France?
Yeah.
Isn't that like all?
Did you win like the finishing second every day?
I don't know. I'm not interested in it enough to find out.
Yes.
You know what I am interested in though,
yes.
Kevin McDonald? I'm interested in laughing. So.
Yes.
And, so I got a hold of this album of yours.
Yes. I'm very sorry.
You have an album out now.
I do. Yeah. I call it Making Faces. It sounds like a bad joke because like in an album you can't see faces, but I do. I don't know any other words, so I'm going to sound like vaudeville 1928 here, but I do a bit called Making Faces on it. If you heard it, you probably...
I did hear it. It's very funny. And on the thing, you're doing all sorts of stuff. You say you come on saying that you're doing stand-up now, but it's not exactly stand-up. It's an amalgam of styles.
Absolutely. Traditionally, stand-up would require that the comic doing it would have jokes. So right away, I'm not doing real stand-up, no.
So right off the top,
you've been disqualified. I don't finish second in that one.
Uh-huh. You've been disqualified right off the bat.
Yeah, I lose that Olympic event, yes.
Yeah. But you do, there's sketches on there, and there's, yep. You're doing,
I did a couple songs.
Mm-hmm.
And even my, the thing I call stand-up, and I only call stand-up because I'm in front of a mic and I'm by myself, I sort of think of it as a one-man sketch show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't really write jokes, as my album proves.
But
get it, everybody.
Yeah, but I've never heard a more ringing endorsement for a thing. It's an album. There's no jokes. I've been doing it for a year. There's no jokes on it.
Oh, you know what happened? May I tell you this, and we'll get back
to
this? It's your show. I realize that. I just played Yuck Yucks. Have you heard of that? A Canadian stand-up place?
No.
It's a comedy club in Calgary last weekend. And I was brave. I was trying new material out, mm-hmm. but I did old material in front of it. And before it, I do that Making Faces thing where I go, where I say, people, the audience always expect me to say jokes. I say, Kevin, tell us jokes. And they laugh at that, and it's going well. And I do this new material, only I'm a little crazy because the bit is like a half hour long. And halfway through, I lose them completely. And they start grumbling. There's a few boos. And one woman yells out, yeah, you're right. Tell us jokes. to which I panic. And I wipe my eyes and I go, it's only a few more minutes. Well, I should have lied. It's only a few minutes longer. It's only 15 minutes longer. And then they really got mad. And I said, all right, never mind. I'm sorry. And I went back to the old material.
Now, when I love Canada. I love it more. I would rather live in Toronto than New York City, for example, for me personally, because Toronto maybe doesn't have the top 10% that New York City has, but it also doesn't have the bottom 30%. It's kind
Toronto's
of
in second place.
It's kind of the middle. Exactly. It's the U of cities.
Yes. It's the in the decathlon. It wins in points.
Exactly. The thing you've said twice on this call already, you've said that you're sorry. Now, that's a thing that Canadians get a bad rap for,
yes.
Apologizing.
Actually, in my half-hour bit, I did a thing. I don't think I ever got to the sorry part in Calgary, but I do something about it saying sorry.
Mm-hmm. But yes, but it's where what's the origin of that? And how can we get
a
country to stop apologizing?
I always figured, like, when I came up with this theory 20 years ago, I thought that if Canada was a stand-up comic, it'd be Woody Allen. And if the United States was a stand-up comic, it'd be Andrew Dice Clay. I don't know how that happened. I don't even know if I'm correct. But if I am correct, I don't know how that happened. But we grew up because we look like Americans, and mm-hmm. we sound like Americans. We're like that old show from the 60s, The Invaders, where the aliens look like Earthlings, but you can only tell because their fingers were a little separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone will know that reference, but I do. We're sort of, and because of that, I think we feel inferior because America is number one in everything. And when you feel inferior, you grew up saying sorry a lot.
Well, you know what? America is not number one in everything. I don't know what things we're not number one in, but I'm sure there's something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the other great awe-inspiring thing about the States. Even if they're not, they make you think they're number one in everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, name something we're not number one in.
Yeah, and exactly. Then well, I can't.
Then you're just kind of on the spot and be like, told you couldn't name anything.
We got on the moon first, right? Yeah. Right.
Now, this album.
Yes.
It, true or false, Kevin, it is not available on iTunes.
It is available on iTunes.
So that's false. No, it's true.
I'm sorry. How did you word it again? You said it's not available on, so false.
Yeah, so false. It is available on iTunes.
Yes.
And you recorded this album in New York City.
In New York City at the Pitt Theater.
Yes, the People's Improv Theater.
Oh, yeah, I can't call it the Pitt Theater because that would be the People's Improv Theater. Yes, the Pitt.
Now, you teach there a little bit, too,
on occasion. I come every year. I do a little teaching.
Now, what are you teaching sketch writing when you come down?
Yes, sketch writing in the old way, how the kids in Hall used to do it before we had a TV show, writing through improv. Mm-hmm. So, like, we'd come up with ideas, and then we'd take our one-line ideas, and we improvise them over and over until we had a scene, then we moved on to the next one. And that's what I'm sort of teaching.
Now, that must be, you ever just look out at the students and see some people just are like, do the bit from the thing, like they're not there to learn, but they're there to just be like.
There were a few people, I've heard this a few times, because at the beginning, it's a workshop thing that I hated when I was a kid in workshops, but I do because it kills time. I start the class with them going around seeing their experience in sketch writing and sketch comedy and improv. And I've heard a few times, I got to be honest with you, Mr. McDonald, I've never done comedy or been on stage in my life. I just wanted to see one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's flattering, but then you must have, what are you, bounce them from the class then?
No, I never do that. And there was one woman I was going to say the city, but I shouldn't say the city because the people may know she had, a week earlier, she had been, what's 2015 for insane asylum?
Sorry, what's that?
What's 2015 for, what do you call an insane asylum, politically correct nowadays? What is mental health center?
I guess like some sort of mental health facility.
Right. Well, she was released from the Fruitcake Building like a week earlier, and she had come to class, and she kept this is the one time where I sort of had to be a teacher, because she kept standing up and interrupting me and talking. Everything I said reminded her of something, and she got excited about something. And for the first time in my life, I exhibited patience. And interest. And she eventually she got bored of me, and she sat down, and she ended up having a good class.
That's nice.
It's a nice little story.
You broke her, right?
I broke her.
It was like
she was a horse from the Nutcake, I broke her.
It was like your Mr. Chips moment.
Yes.
Now, do you wear a jacket with patches on the elbows?
Yeah. Yeah. And the new version of Peter O'Toole, I sang a little. Or if it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon, I would have chased around with a butterfly net.
Oh, so, so you're covering all the bases.
Yeah, right. But I went more Mr. Chips.
So, Kevin McDonald.
Yes. Stan, goodbye, Mr. Chips. We love you. Is now the movie ends.
That is how it. That is. But this is not how this. We're not ending this.
No. No, I'm talking more about Mr. Chips. Yes.
You've been doing a lot of voice work too now. A lot of
yes, I have. Yeah.
A lot of in the booth. Like you're in the booth now.
I'm in the booth. Yeah, I'm in the booth, and I love calling the headphones cans.
So they just got you in the. But they're like, do we got Kevin? We got Kevin patched in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they patch me in. It's never the same city, and. I say to the engineer with me, I say, should I put my cans on? Because he's 26, he looks at me quizzically, and then I say, headphones? And then he nods, and then I'm patched in, yes.
And then you're, because you do a lot of cartoons, so like, what are the things you're doing now? What type
right
of...
now, the one I'm doing is, it hasn't been out yet, it doesn't come out yet, it's called Bagel and Becky, where I'm a dog, Becky's a cat, and we're brother and sister, and our mom's a human being. It's kind of a strange one.
Wait, what is that configuration again?
I'm the dog, who's the brother to my cat sister.
Okay.
And our mom is a human being, or at least we call her mom.
Yeah, this, I'm not sure. Is this like some sort of Isle of Dr. Moreau type of thing going on?
Yes,
this
the Marlon Brando version.
This sounds terrifying, but it's like in different hands, that would be just like, hey, I want to tell you about this new horror movie I'm a part of.
Yeah. And they say it's for like 8-year-olds, but it seems to be very, very dark age. It's the most nihilistic thing I've ever done. Do you know my comedy out of Buster Keaton? You know, like how some of his shorts were like he'd get his car stuck on a train. A train track, and then looked like a train was coming, and he it's a car he just bought, and he's transporting his family, but he gets out, and the train misses the car, and everyone's relieved, and the last second from another direction, a train comes and destroys the car. Mm-hmm. That's what, like, sort of happens in this cartoon every episode.
Yeah, see, I like Buster Keaton, and
he's my favorite. Foley and I are favorites.
I like Harold Lloyd.
Harold Lloyd was good, but Harold Lloyd, it's funny, I think he's a great comedian, and he was a producer, but I always wonder this, and I have no right to say this, like Offset, did he make people laugh? Was the crew always chuckling? I have this feeling that he wasn't.
You know who I don't like, though, is Laurel and Hardy.
Really?
Like, I saw this one Laurel and Hardy thing, and they're, like, doing this thing with a piano, and they're just trying,
the famous one, where I kind of love Laurel and Hardy.
But it's like, I saw that, and I'm just like, you dudes didn't figure out that there was a side end. Was it like a side entrance for the thing? It's like, that's on you.
They're punchline. Yeah, they're going up the stairs all the time. And then every time they get close, it goes down all the way the stairs. But Laurel and Hardy, first of all, I think Laurel was a comedy genius. I'm sorry, I'm bringing your show to Boreville now. I'm sorry for being bored, but I'm going to keep going. Hardy he wasn't even like a straight man. He was like a great comic actor. And nobody, like, I don't think hitting people with pies is funny unless it's Oliver Hardy. He's the one guy that does it right. Because the whole thing about Comedy A1, about getting hit with a pie, is keeping your dignity. So Stan Laurel would accidentally hit him with a pie, and Hardy, instead of getting mad, would, like, do his tie up and put his hat straighter and then walk away with dignity. And it always made me laugh.
Oh, see, I mixed up. I meant Abbott and Costello is the one I meant.
So Laurel and Hardy did the piano.
Because they did the thing. Abbott and Costello did that thing where it's like, who's on first? And they're, because look, I look at it this way. If it's in black and white, how good can it really be?
Good point.
Like,
good point.
Seriously.
Listeners, if you take away anything from this interview, that's the thing you take away. Forget the cult thing and the pixies of comedy. Forget that.
But seriously, think about it. If it's in black and white,
how good can it be?
How good it could really be.
That's right. Thank God for Caddyshack in color.
Like, if Caddyshack was in black and white, I'd be like, I don't have any time for this.
I don't know why I picked Caddyshack. I did like Caddyshack. I liked it.
Caddyshack, if you watch Caddyshack again, about one-third of it is maybe the most boring movie you've ever seen in your life, which is basically the plot of Caddyshack, where it's just like, oh, geez, will this kid get the scholarship? It's like, who cares?
Oh, those rich snobs.
He's not getting along with his girlfriend. It's so boring. You're waiting. It's like, where's Ted Knight?
That's it, you guys. You show those rich snobs a thing or two.
Yeah, that whole snobs versus slobs thing. I get that.
The other third, I forget your math, it's funny. It makes you think you like it, right?
Yes. The other two-thirds make up for that one-third, which is the worst thing you've ever seen.
I don't know if this is true, but I imagine Bill Murray ad-libbed his way through the movie, and it's got some of his best lines,
Seems like he spent 3 days working on Caddyshack.
Wow.
Because all his scenes seem to be pretty contained. Like he's
on the green.
Yeah, he's either on the green or in like a... his little clubhouse.
What's that great line he has? Is it the Dalai Lama?
Yes, he had
What is it? I just remember the punchline, so I got that going for me. When he wanted a tip from the Dalai Lama, the Dalai Lama just gave him some peace advice. Your everlasting peace. So I got that going for me.
Yeah. Now, when you look back, Kevin McDonald, not that there's not you looking forward.
Yes.
Because we're looking forward I know. We're looking forward. We have Making Faces is out now, and everybody can get it over at iTunes.
It's jokeless. Buy it.
It's jokeless. Buy it.
Yes.
Again.
That's what I wanted the ad to be, but they fought me on that.
They fought you on it's jokeless.
Yes.
So.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But when
you
look
back right now, I know what you mean. There's plenty to look forward to in my life. I'm not an old man over 50. I understand, but what do you want to look back on?
But when a Kevin McDonald looks back.
Yes.
What are the high points you see? Is it hanging out at the Reveille?
Oh,
eating,
good question.
Fries.
Like when it all equalizes.
Fries there.
Like when I'm like 93 and I'm sort of a vegetable. And it all equalizes. Like, what are the happiest memories? Probably the Reveille. The Reveille. For those of you, I'm screaming for people who are listening to the talk. For those of you who don't know, the Reveille was the club the kids in the hall played at before we got our TV show.
That's right. It was where it all began.
Well, they were sort of exciting. You know, we did a different show every Monday. We did a show every Monday, and it was always different sketches. It was almost like we were pretending we had a TV show. And we were sort of finding ourselves, and you know, we thought we were good, mm-hmm. but we also knew that every comic thought they were good. Mm-hmm. And we had tried to get into Second City, mm-hmm. but Second City said we were too weird to get in, and we were like, when we were talking to ourselves, we go, "Of course we're too weird, man." But also, when we were by ourselves, we were thinking, "Well, I'm 21. Weird could be double speak for bad." But for some reason, we believed our own hype.
Sure.
Be Public Enemy, and we thought we were good.
But you were also there to back each other up too. It wasn't like one person thinking maybe I am insane. Was there a point where would it feel like, well, if the five of us are laughing at it, it's got to be funny?
Yes, we always thought that. But the thing is, how many mediocre comedy troops must think that?
Yeah, but you must have felt some kind of thing happening with it.
It
where
felt
you
special. Like it did kind of feel special. Like the first few months of the Reveille, only 16 people came, and it felt special. And then all of a sudden, it was like standing room only. And then we felt more validated, special, and it sort of kept getting bigger. And we got a review that helped us get discovered, blah, 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 where this writer said, the kids in the hall assume their audience is as smart as they are. And we never, like, articulated that, but we all walked around and go, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got it right. Yeah, we do. And I remember that was, like, a special moment of feeling validated.
That's awesome. That's the thing. And you still hold on to that in some way where it's still you because you're still fighting against the thing?
Absolutely. I guess if you like did the DNA of every comic, they would feel like the underdog. But we're also Canadian, and there were five of us, and we couldn't get in the Second City. And we definitely feel like, I mean, you took away that underdog feeling, and we're a cult thing. And like it's always, what was the first thing I said on the show? We're a cult thing when you were calling me a legend. You can't take away my cult thing from me. You can't make me as popular as Jerry Seinfeld. It would take away our specialness in a way.
Yeah, because it's when it clicks for people, it's the most important thing
exactly.
in their life.
Exactly.
They're not just passively consuming it and being like, oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's all right. It was that was stupid. I don't know. And they can't tell you two things about it.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
made.
Because fame means nothing. I remember 1991, we were staying in the same hotel as Cato Kalin, the O.J. Simpson guy. And he had way more fans walking down the street than we did. And fame means nothing. I guess that's why we like the cult word so much. Can I tell you, Scott Thompson?
Wait, you know Cato Kalin?
Who, Kate, yeah, is that his name? The guy who was living
I know. I know. You don't have a number for him, do you?
I'll get it. I'll get it.
Right now?
He's 22 years old, but I'll get it.
Okay, yeah. What did you want to say, Kevin McDonald?
Scott Thompson's Lemonade Theory of Comedy.
What is his Lemonade Theory?
And I grew up loving Saturday Night Live. I'm not dissing Saturday Night Live. Lemonade... most people like their lemonade sweet, let's say Saturday Night Live, and some people like it without sugar and kind of like the lemon taste and the sourness of it. Mm-hmm. And the ones who like the sourness of it really love it, and that's what we are. We're sour lemonade.
So your Sour Lemonade. What if that was the name? Did you ever think the name Kids in the Hall, when you heard it, when you guys came up with it, were you ever think like, hey, I'll be over 50 and I'll still, it's like.
Never, never.
It's like being a Beach Boy.
Yeah. Never. Roger Daughtry saying, hope I die before I get old. It's too late. Never. It's just a name. You're young. You don't think about, like, the next year.
Yeah.
And though we all thought we'd make, but also, maybe in the back of our minds, sketch comedy, most, like, troops nowadays are doing it more, but when we were there, no troops really, real troops made it. They were conquered and divided. So a troop would get some buzz, and then three of them would become big writers, and one of them would become a star, like actor or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the back of our minds, we were thinking that anyway. So why not the Kids in the Hall?
Would you go in with me on a line of merchandise that we could sell to the improv community?
Yes, of course.
Shirt. Well, I like the fact that you said yes before I even told you what it would be. It would be shirts that say, I support the troops.
Yes. T-R-O-U-P-S?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. We could sell them at every improv theater across the country.
I think you might become a millionaire out of this.
Mike, would you buy one of my shirts? I support Mike, the call screener who has more followers than you, said he would support, he would buy one. He supports the troops.
I think you might become, this is the millionaire idea, I think.
Well, Kevin McDonald.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to say that we've reached that point in the show.
You got the word sorry in, though.
I did. I was trying to make you feel at home.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had fun. I'm not being phony, though sometimes I am at parties after a vodka. This was fun.
It was fun. I had a great time.
Thank you very much.
Your album is called Making Faces.
Yes, because it's an album and you can't... Shut up, Kevin!
It's great, and it's not laugh-free.
Thank you very much.
There's at least two laughs on there.
Thank you very much.
At least. And people can get it over at iTunes.
Yes.
And thank you for being a guest on the show. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I love your show, and I'm not lying.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you to say. You have a grand evening.
Thank you very much. You too. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Good night.
That was nice. Kevin McDonald checking in. How about that? How about that? I'm going to play a quick thing. Hold on 1 second. I want to play something by a band on Ghana Records. Os Mutants. Again, I wish I was at Ghana Fest this year, but I'm not. Here's a band. It's a record called Order of Operations. Really great on Ghana. It's a song called Wrong. And the records we heard before, we heard the Shannon and the Clams from their new album, Gone by the Dawn. We heard Point of Being Right and... No Bunny from the album Secret Songs. We heard, I believe it's called Out to Lunch. But now we're going to hear something from Os Mutants. Let's check it out right now. Everybody, best show's back. What a crazy show, huh? You having fun out there, Mike? Oh, we just heard from Dwight Twilley. Something awesome from him. Single on the Hozak label. Firefly. Can't beat that. It's good stuff, man. Dude's telling you how it is. Dwight Twilley. Before that, Os Mutants. I'm going to say it's Os Mutants because it's mute ants. I get it now, okay? Slow on the uptake, man. The name of the song's Wrong, and it's on Goner. The name of the album is Order of Operation. And they're from Australia, which is why it's all okay. Boy, that was a... These are hitting me late, man. Hitting me late. My friends, the phone number, 201-332-3484. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Shane in Toronto.
Shane in Toronto. What's up, Shane?
You were talking about Canadian chocolate bars over the last couple weeks.
I was, yes.
And
what would you like to know about them?
Well, you were saying that you were not a big fan of the Aero Bar, if I recall.
That's disgusting. It's low-grade chocolate.
I was wondering exactly how you ate it, because there's a certain technique to the Aero Bar that I feel like enhances the enjoyment of it.
Well, tell me how you eat one, and I'll tell you how I ate one.
Okay, yeah, the technique I'm talking about is you're supposed to, apparently, according to commercials and all the advertisements, let it melt on your tongue, and so the bubbles inside, the air bubbles,
yeah,
kind of can feel them like almost popping.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah?
Yep.
Still not a fan?
Nope.
I guess I'm an Aero apologist. I gotta say, I really enjoy them.
You love your Aero Bar. Look, you got it. If you guys figured it out with Coffee Crisp, I got to give you that. You got that covered every which way, the Coffee Crisp thing.
I have to agree with you there for sure. I am definitely a big Coffee Crisp. I have a Coffee Crisp sitting right next to me at the moment.
And so do I. I have one sitting right next to me, too. We're Coffee Crisp buddies, right?
Coffee Crisp pals, absolutely.
Oh, I like Coffee Crisp buddies.
Yep, I'll have to defer to you on that, I guess.
You gonna eat yours? Let me hear you chomp into that thing.
Yeah, you want to hear me chomp into it?
No, I don't, actually. That's disgusting. Get off my phone. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
It's going all right. Who's this?
This is Alex from Toronto.
Alex from back-to-back, the Toronto, the T-Dot, coming through strong.
Wasn't our plan, I don't think, but maybe it's like a Jungian subconscious thing here. Mm-hmm.
Where you guys, where are you going tonight? Sonic Boom?
Yeah, I cruise by Sonic Boom with my value pack of Coffee Crisp, pick up some Tragically Hip CDs.
Sure. I love it. What's going on, champ?
Well, things are okay. I actually just wanted to call and say thank you for being so nice to me when we ran into each other in Toronto, I guess a couple weeks ago now.
Well, I remember you. You were leering at me. Right? Right.
Well, I saw you, and I thought, you know, that looks like Tom. Maybe I should say hello.
It was Tom. You were giving me the look, though. You got to admit, you were giving me like the. You were gonna. It was that look where I swear, and I'm not joking. I was like, I think this guy's gonna mug me. And then you said my name, and I was like, oh. You were one of those people, you were ready to, it's like when it with a, and look, I'm not calling you a serial killer. I'm not going that far. Currently. But,
okay.
You know that thing when just like if you say your name to a serial killer, they can't kill you? It's like the rules of that. Like.
If you say your own name?
If you say your name, you make yourself a person. And then
right.
they can't do it.
Right, it's like, oh, I have a kid, I have a wife, my name is this.
You just keep
whatever.
Saying your name over and over, and then they can't do it. You recognized me before you were going to do it, and you're like, oh, I guess I can't rob this dude, because I know his radio show.
To be fair, at first I thought you were alone, and then when I introduced myself, I realized that you were with somebody else, so.
That's all right.
Changed the situation a bit.
You seem like
Mr.
a nice
paycheck.
You seem like a nice young man. You seem like a decent sort, as they say.
Well, I appreciate that.
A little off. You're a little off, right? You know what I mean. Look, I'm just being...
We all have problems, don't we?
No, yeah. Look, I'm just straight shooting here. I got problems, too. I'm a little off. You don't think I'm weird? I'm weird. I'm weird as the day is long. For some reason, I've eaten at IKEA three times in the last 7 days.
Just the meatballs or something else?
I ate the veggie meatballs.
Veggie meatballs, right?
Yeah. It's good, though. But you know what? Is it good or was it just cheap and available in a furniture store?
Do you spend a lot of time at the IKEA? When we go to IKEA here, it usually takes a while, so it's like a special event.
Not for me, man. In and out. I run that thing. You'd think I was at a 7-Eleven the way I'm in and out at that thing.
So I was nervous just now. I was afraid that maybe I was going to get accused of being creep for this week's episode.
No.
I was pretty nervous there for a second. That was actually the first time I ever called. I called in and during the bowling alley confessions, and you sussed me out pretty quick.
And what did I do?
Well, you said
how did it go? Let's set the stage. You called up during bowling alley confessions, which you're first of all not supposed to admit.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
That's fine though. You blew the lid off of the bowling alley. That's fine. I guess it's your right to admit it. I can't apply that to anybody. If you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like it's up to you if you want to
Right. Well, it's like the therapist can't, take confidentiality means you can't take it out to the masses. But
yes.
If the person who's in therapy
wants to go and
talk about their problems to whoever wants to listen.
It's at their discretion. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I apologize for turning that into something.
No, I mean,
So you called. You told the story about what? Throwing mattresses in hotel pools? Was that you?
No. God, no. That wasn't you? No. No, I told a story about breaking up to the song Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell.
Oh. I think you might have been worse than the mattress, dude. That might have been a little worse.
I thought the mattress guy was one of the all-time worst.
I don't know. The Sex Dwarf thing is really troubling, though.
That wasn't of my control, though. It was one of those things. It's not like I put it on.
So you didn't put it on to set the mood.
No. I didn't invite the person over just to go. All right.
Different. Okay. I thought for some reason.
I just put the CD on.
I thought for some reason you were playing it and going, okay, now let me take care of business. Now that I've set the tone for the evening. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, it actually diffused the situation so well that I feel like if I were to, want to set things up, so that I could, have an easy out, mm-hmm. maybe make a playlist, mm-hmm. put that in there kind of on shuffle. Mm-hmm. And then when I hear it starting up, I could sort of like try to get into the bad news, but mm-hmm. then be like, oh my God, look, it's Sex Dwarf. I totally forgot that was on this playlist. Isn't that funny?
What is your name again?
Alex.
Alex. Now, Alex, would you take this the wrong way if I gave you a nickname for the show?
No, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know how I can't judge it till I know what it is.
Sex Dwarf Alex. Just so I know that that's you.
That's from now on when I call in, that's what I got to go by?
No, so you go as Toronto's Sex Dwarf Alex. Because in case there's another one, I want to just make sure that people don't confuse you with them. You know what I mean?
You could have one in every city if you wanted to.
Could be one. I want you to just be, it's clear that you're Toronto's Sex Dwarf, Alex.
Okay.
That's fine, right?
I mean, there are worse nicknames.
There are worse nicknames.
It's no Jefferson. I feel like I got off light here.
Okay, but look, Toronto's sex dwarf Alex. Let's try it on for size. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Toronto's sex dwarf Alex here.
Hey, bro, what's up? What's up, Toronto's sex dwarf Alex?
Well, you know, just hanging out, listening to my best of Soft Cell, best of the New Romantic Era compilation.
Yeah, what's track three on that best of Soft Cell? Sex dwarf, probably. Because track one would be
Tainted Love.
Track two would probably be Say Hello, Wave Goodbye. Right?
Uh-huh. Track three, you got Sex Dwarf, and then I think it just starts over again.
No. The Art of Falling Apart. You never heard that album? I'm going down to the subway. That's a great album. That's the album where he's losing his marbles. That's the only Soft Cell album I care about, bro.
I have to admit, my Soft Cell knowledge actually doesn't go that deep.
You've never heard Going Down to the Subway?
I don't think so, no.
By Soft Cell? Second album. Second album Soft Cell. I'm making
was
the hard
Tainted
Love
sell. On the first album?
I'm making some hard sell for it. What's that?
Was Tainted Love on the first album?
It was on the first one.
I mean, I guess it was just a single or whatever.
Non-stop Erotic Cabaret. You
know, yeah. Right.
You like Depeche Mode, Toronto's Sex Dwarf, Alex?
Depeche Mode's good, too.
What's your favorite album by them? Or do
the
you just
one,
like, you
oh,
like singles? You
name.
Like singles?
The I one just, with Never Let Me Down Again.
Okay.
I think it's like...
A little later in the mix for you. We're not talking about a broken frame. We're not going like, my monument, it fell down. The ones
no,
you
no.
like you like the later stuff when they thought they were a blues band.
No, right? no, not that far. You're taking me too far into the dregs. No, come on.
Yeah, they thought they were a blues band.
I just mean like you know,
right.
I'm in there before. What was it? I'm just trying to
look.
Music
I like
for the
I like,
masses. That's what I was. Trying
I like
to think
that
of.
Stuff too. I like that stuff too. You get no argument from me. It's got that one creepy song, Little 15. Could do without that one, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're the kind
what
of band
goes,
that
what goes on like... in people's minds when they are in a band well into the idea of, like, underage people, and they still do a song about, you know what I mean? Like, what's going
right.
on?
Like, haven't we had enough of those by now?
Like, yeah,
every band's got to have one?
Yeah.
Is it, like, a quota?
Yeah, didn't they realize that it's time to, like, let that... Like, why is that happening? Like, why do you have to write another one of those? We're full right now. We've got enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear Dave Gahan add to the body of work with that. Like,
right.
You know what I think we're missing is another song about underage girls. I feel like that's missing from our new album.
It's funny too because they never it's never like oh they're this new band it's 19-year-old guys and they wrote a song about 16-year-olds it's like hey this band of 35-year-old men
yeah they were 30
eight exactly. albums deep
yeah.
It's time for the 16-year-olds to come out.
Thank you, Toronto's sex dwarf Alex. That's a great point. All right, you have a great night, champ.
Nice to talk to you, Tom.
And but this is the thing: when you hang up now,
yes,
you have to say.
Do I have to say Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex signing off?
That's exactly what you have to say. All right, well, thanks for calling, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, Tom.
Say it.
Sorry. Bye, Tom. Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex signing off now.
Okay, good night. I love it. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Andy from Birmingham. Great show tonight.
Andy from Birmingham?
Yeah.
Birmingham, that's Alabama? Correct.
Yes, not Birmingham, Michigan.
No. Do you guys love the governor down there?
Ugh.
Right?
No, we do not.
You don't?
No.
I thought that's what you guys did down there.
I think the guys that wrote that song are from Florida.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so, no. False claim.
So you don't love the governor?
No. Do you know about our governor right now?
I don't.
Oh, he's the worst. Like, where do I begin? Just another, like, token white guy in the office.
White guys, man.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I'm one too. There's a lot of them out there, but we don't all have to be evil.
Yeah, I've had enough of them.
Yeah.
Sick of them.
Really? Well, I got a little question for you.
What do you got for me?
Me and a few friends are going to see the Mountain Goats in October.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do, like, the white T-shirts, and each shirt has a letter on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they do at sporting events.
Yeah.
And we want to put something on there, like Jazz Fart or New Bridge, spell out some best show type word.
Sure. Of course.
A suggestion for that?
No, I think you guys got a freelance on that one. I couldn't possibly write one for you. I think wherever you end up is where you end up.
All right. We're probably going Jazz Fart.
You're going to write Jazz Fart on all three shirts?
Eight shirts. Eight letters.
Wow.
One letter per shirt.
That is spectacular. This is what I'll say. I want to see a photo of it.
Okay.
Please don't make yourselves the show.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, don't be up front going, Jazz Fart, Jazz Fart, Jazz Fart, until finally.
Jazz Fart. No.
Yeah. Just don't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Just be there. Yeah.
We just want to say hey to John Worster.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Just don't make yourselves the show, though.
Agreed.
Well, look, I appreciate the call. You have fun at the show.
All right, Tom. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Who's this? This is Alan in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Alan in Warsaw, Wisconsin? Waukesha, where?
It's Wausau.
Wausau.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on in Wausau tonight?
Well, we don't get a lot of local music here.
No.
And there are like three tribute bands coming through, and I want your help to decide which one to see.
Okay.
So there's one coming early October, and it's a Fleetwood Mac tribute band.
Okay.
And a couple weeks after that, there's a Rolling Stones tribute band.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February, there's a Led Zeppelin tribute band.
Why can't you see all three? They're not going up against each other, right?
Do I see them all?
Yeah. What else you got going on?
Well, I just had a baby.
Okay. What bands? There's some good bands from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, but they don't come this far north, and we just had a baby, so I don't really leave town that much.
What are some of your favorite Wisconsin bands?
You've got the Violent Femmes.
Sure.
Couch
Flambeau.
Right.
Right.
Killdozer. Sure.
Who else?
Well, a lot of people around Wisconsin cite the Bodines, but I don't really care for them.
What?
Yeah.
You don't like the Bodines?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah, little runaway. Remember that one twerp in the Bodines? Right?
Which one?
Wasn't the one dude like a little, the one, I'm sorry I'm saying it like that. Wasn't there one dude who seemed kind of like, I don't know. I can't remember. I just remember that one video. The one dude.
Was it for that Party of Five video? The theme song?
They did do the theme song to that, right?
Yeah, they had a music video with like the cast or something.
How did that song go? You can remember.
Everybody wants to be. Something like that?
That's right. Everybody wants to be.
Closer to. Yeah.
Closer to what? To the
free.
To me?
Free. Well, it's me and then free, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
I love it. I love it.
All right, so I see all three?
Yeah, see as many as you can. So when you're out there, when you're out there in Wisconsin, and be straight with me, because I ask for is honesty.
Okay,
my friend. You ever just drive around, listen to the Bodines, right? In your truck, you drive a truck. Yeah. What do you drive?
I drive a sedan.
Okay, you're in your sedan, playing your Bodines records, right?
Yeah.
Set the mood. It's night. And little runaway. Little runaway. Right? And then you're just driving past the house with the lights on.
Right.
And then you're like, I gotta take a peek in that window.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen?
Never.
Then you just play the music. And you leave the truck running. Open the passenger door, that way you can still hear the music.
And why did I wait so long to call in?
And then it's your background. It's like you just hear it in the background, right?
Yeah.
And little runaway.
Right.
Little runaway. I'm gonna fade away. Is it fade away? Is that what it was?
Probably. Yeah, it's a peeper anthem.
That's never just and look, just be honest. You can tell me. It's Tom. Okay. Ain't nobody going to link you to this.
Right.
In the community, what do you think? You're going to be in front of the neighborhood watch or whatever, and they're going to be like, oh, I heard you on the best show talking about, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, you can admit it. You're out there driving around.
I can't.
Let's just set the mood now. You're driving around. There's a Bodine's plan.
Is that a Bodine's tape?
There it is. Fade away. Fade away. And then you're just like, oh, look at that house. Right? Look, I'm looking on YouTube, the first comment somebody wrote about this song. Love this. So many cool nights riding the strip late to this. So good.
What? What strip?
That's you.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
I think it's you.
What's the username?
Well, here's somebody also saying, I've been a big fan of the Bodines. Might be that they came from Waukesha, Wisconsin. And this is written by Peeper 99, which is coming up as your ISBN line is coming up here. It's you. I can digitally prove it's you.
Dudio is back there running a trace.
Dudio, as you nailed. Dudio is like Mr. Robot out there. Have you watched this show, Mr. Robot? Do you ever watch that through someone's window?
I don't know what that is.
I was watching an episode of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm waiting for the robot to show up, right? Because he's like, the one guy, I don't know if he's a robot or not, if he's going to suddenly be like, I am Mr. Robot. I am Mr. Robot. Me, momo, me, moo. Right?
Beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. Right, Muck? Right?
Robots had to talk with, like, an Austrian accent.
Is this the part when you get your step stool out?
Yeah, I keep a step stool in the back seat.
Yeah. Just give me a little peeper walla on this.
Peeper walla?
Walla. That's what you say when you're in a voiceover session, and they just make some sounds.
So, like, the sound of someone walking up through a window?
No, just, like, stuff you'd say. Like, oh, yeah. Peeping. Good night for peeping. This is good peeping weather.
Well, there's a full moon, so it's going to help the peeping.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be able to see me, but I'll be able to see them. So that helps.
Good, crisp fall weather. It's good sleeping weather. Good peeping weather, right? You leave your windows open at night because it's good sleeping weather. You hope they leave their windows at night because it's good peeping weather.
Yeah, the only thing is with, like, the fall weather comes, the falling leaves, and the leaves crunch, and they might hear me outside the window.
Exactly. They give you away. But isn't that right, part of the yeah. thrill, too, though?
Oh, yeah. That makes it better.
It's that peeper. It's him. With the pickup truck playing the Bodines. I thought I heard the Bodines.
Yeah, it's the guy with the broom coming to get me.
Run! All right, buddy. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
All right, bye. Woohoo, right? My friends, I want y'all to know, you know Pat Byrne. He's a part of the show, one of the producers of the show. He's got another, he does a show on WFMU called Prove It All Night. And there is a live installment of it this Saturday. This Saturday. 9 p.m. over at the WFMU studios. You can check it out live. Let's see. Go to WFMU.org for more information on it. I guess if you want to get more info. What is it? The last annual DIY Late Night Talk Show Awards. Is that it? Is that his show this week? I'm trying to read it here. I ain't a part of Facebook no more. I can't read these things. This is what I'm going to tell you. Here, I'll tell you. I'm going to go find out right now. Sorry about this, my friends. This is what you do. Right here. Where is it? It's going to be here on the ting. Prove It All Night. Variety show with Pat Byrne. Got no info on this. You got a Dudios guy. See this guy? He is Mr. Robot. I am Mr. Robot. Welcome. This Saturday, 9 p.m., Prove It All Night live at the WFMU Performance Space in Jersey City. It's the last annual DIY Late Night Talk Show Awards. On the bill, Dave Hill, Joe Firestone, Brett Davis, Jay Miller, and Scott Rogowski. All great people. Wait, Jay Miller from Impractical Jokers? I gotta get in on that, man. I'm telling you. These dudes have it figured out. I'm here scraping for every nickel I can get my hands on. Then these Impractical Jokers, all they do is, and I mean, God bless them, the Impractical Jokers. Thank you, Dudia. Thank you, Mr. Robot. All they do is their entire budget for their show is a couple flip cams and some like walkie-talkies that they buy at a KB Toys.
Well, go up to that woman and tell her she looks stupid.
They're at the mall, Staten Island Mall. Half the time you're at the Staten Island Mall. Half the time you go there, you're getting bugged by the Impractical Jokers. The other half, you got some sex dominatrix walking around. There was that story. A guy had a woman on a leash. He was walking her around the Staten Island Mall. Boy, that Staten Island Mall, that's where it's happening. Half the time it's the Impractical Jokers. The other half of the time it's that guy. Got to put a dog collar on you walking around. The Impractical, I gotta get a piece of that action. The Staten Island Garbage Rats we gotta make that a reality. The show where me and AP Mike and Dudio and Kristen and we'll find some other people. We need the villain for this show. But the premise of the show is it's basically us at the Staten Island dump rooting around for treasures. Pat Byrne's a part of it. He's like the handsome young man part of it. Mike's got a pet monkey named Cuddles. Dudio and Kristen are like the Jared and Brandy of it. Maybe I'll just be the villain of the thing. Maybe I'll just be the Dave from Storage Wars. I'll just be that guy in it. Mike with his monkey is going to be like that dude. You know that one guy who looks like if a gorilla fell in a vat of Nair and like up to his head? You know that guy, Mike? On Storage Wars? The guy who's like, I got to tell you, I think. Is it Daryl? He's like, I got to tell you, I think Barry's stupid. I'm going to run this up on this storage locker and get him to pay more than he wants to pay for it. I got to tell you, I'm going to get Jared and Brandy think they're slick. I'm going to make them pay too much for this locker. How did that show get past one episode? Like, isn't one enough? Like, one. They could have done one 40-minute episode to, like, fit in a little bit more than one episode. I got to tell you, I see some real potential in this locker. And he's also the guy who would be like, here's some comic books, it's $500. Like, overestimating on everything so that he never loses. Here's some paper plates, that's $30. Here's some pants, that's $100. I gotta run it up. Here comes Mike. Mike, now Mike's bringing the laptop in. Mike's bringing in, thinks he's showing me memes from about Storage Wars. And one was like, a box of paper towels? That's $200, right? That's a $200 bill right there. So, I got to get something going. These Storage Wars and these Impractical Jokers guys are rolling in it. They got their own crews now. The Impractical Jokers crews. Can you imagine a cruise ship? I'm not even talking about those guys. Meeting them would be all right, meeting the Impractical Jokers. I'm talking about meeting fellow Impractical Jokers fans. You know these Impractical Joker dudes are hiding in their cabins on that thing. There's a lot of room service going on with that. Lot of room service. Those dudes might not even know. They might not even know there's a pool on the boat. Hey, did you see the pool? No, I stayed in my room and went to the three events that I legally had to go to, that contractually I said I would go to, to fulfill my responsibilities for the cruise, the Impractical Jokers cruise. But imagine those fans. Hey, I think I saw Sal. I think I saw Sal. I think I saw Sal getting pizza. Hey, Sal's over at the clam. Sal, I think I saw Sal at the oyster bar. Let's go check. Sal's running away. Those guys, they got it figured out. That's what I need. I need mine. I need my Impractical Jokers. Got to get. And we'll all get rich on it. We'll all get rich. How's that sound? Sound good, Mike? You'll be like one of these reality show guys. You'll as long as Cuddles, nothing happens to Cuddles. Your biggest responsibility is going to be to keep Cuddles alive. Because God forbid anything happens to Cuddles on your watch, you're done. You're in Ranazisi town. That's Ranazisi. That's Ranazisi times 1,000. That chimp eats it on your watch. Nobody's gonna want anything to do with you. Stand on garbage rats. I'll have to boot you off the show. I'll boot you off. I'll slide someone else in there. I'll put Keith from Keith and the Girl in there in your place. He'd fit on the show. Kurt Vile. I'll let Kurt Vile. A Jell-O Man. I'll let Jell-O Man. Jell-O Man might just be on it anyway, right? Out in the dump making Jell-O. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to end the best show tonight. We all had a fun evening, did we not? You have a right time, Mike? You have an okay time, Dudio? I can't believe anything Dudio says. I thought Mike gave me hollow answers. Dudio's like, "Yeah, it was great." You have fun tonight? Yeah, it was great. Just completely tossed off answer. You have fun tonight, Mike? Yeah, I had fun. How about you, Dudio? You have fun? Yeah, it was great. Just two dudes who are checked out. Great band. Speaking of Australia, Dick Diver. They put a record out on Trouble in Mind earlier this year. We've played it before. The name of the record is Melbourne, Florida. And we're going to play it again. A song called Waste the Alphabet. Let's check it out. And the best show will be back next week. The beginning. Tonight is the final episode of Best Show 2.0. Starting next week, Best Show 2.1. Here's something from Dick Diver. See you next week, everybody.